Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Old-fashioned, but I like my coffee black. I like my beer ice cold. I like hearing myself in my headphones. I like my steak medium rare, and I like my glass cannon live.
Glass cannon is better
on Twitch.
Live. We're here.
If there was a crowd right now, we would be able to hear them, and they'd be going crazy.
It was really weird not hearing crowd go wild. I was like, What happened?
Or just chorus of booze like last time.
Is this
time?
Thing on?
Yeah. Thanks to Troy.
Way less panties being thrown.
Far less panties being thrown.
I, for one, am
sadly
grateful.
It's weird without the panties. I agree, Troy.
Not no panties, but just less.
I, for one, am grateful that we don't have to suffer through some new Portman Joe like we do in every new city.
I wonder what they're chanting in the chat. Is it
suffer?
Like
suffer?
They were chanting the YouTube show for me. Joe last night
for you.
In chat.
Yeah. Yeah, YouTube Joe.
YouTube Joe.
YouTube Joe.
Look at us, huh? I can't remember the last time we did this with the 18 of us. I can't count.
It's been a minute.
It's been a hot minute. We did this like weeks and weeks and weeks in a row after, you know, a couple months after Giant Slayer ended and long before Gatewalkers began. This was like our stopgap thing. We got to play so much Strange Aeons, and then we went back to doing it on tour, and it just, we don't play that much anymore. And we took January and February off. We just got back into it in Toronto. And I said this year, I was like, come hell or high water, I want to play some more online and just try to flesh this story out, get back into it. So it kind of complements what we do on the road. And there's no better time than right now, because less than a week from now, we're going to be back on the road. We're in Kansas City on Thursday night at the Madrid Theater. There are plenty of tickets left. It's a huge place. But come on, Kansas City. Come on out. We had so many people in St. Louis last time. Let's at least get those that St. Louis crowd there. And then we're in Austin Saturday night. And as of this morning, big ass theater, bigger than Toronto. And there's only 31 tickets left in Austin. So
wow.
That is
going to
be. Toronto was huge. That was the biggest theater I've been in that we played.
Both of these theaters are bigger, and Austin is this close to selling out. So.
Oh my God.
Would it be our biggest crowd in Texas? If it stays right where it is right now, would that be
it? Would be the
crowd?
Biggest crowd to ever gather in Texas for anything.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure.
Bold statement. Bold. I'm sure you've done your research.
Yes, I'm spitballing, but that seems about right. So come on out. Those 31 holdouts, we would love to see you. If you're anywhere in Texas, just make the drive. It'll be worthwhile. I'm going to be so fat on stage after just, I've been like really, really good. And then I'm just going to eat like a fucking pig in Kansas City and then just roll right into Franklin's, eat more. I'm going to come on stage, just rolling onto stage, but I can't wait. It's going to be a very gassy show.
Sweats.
Oh gosh.
I'll need those panties on stage in case I need to change midway through.
You're just gonna have the beef sweats like early. Like early beef sweats.
It's that's not great. Enough under the lights, but it's gonna be bad after the barbecue we get. Oh boy.
There's like, the title of the episode right there. We don't even have to do the show. We know what it is.
I hope you can join us next week, but if you can't join us next week, tickets are on sale for every show throughout the rest of the year, with the exception of Philly, which is going on sale possibly next week. I'll just stay tuned to social media, listen to Cannon Bar. I'll let you know when those Philly tickets are going to go on sale. But Helium Comedy Club during Gen Con, there's 20 something tickets left for that. There's about 26 tickets left for St. Paul. A lot of these shows are selling out. We're really glad we got to put these tickets up early. It makes a big, big difference. And in fact, we're going to be running a giveaway in chat. McD will be throwing the link up pretty soon. You can enter to win 2 tickets to any show through the rest of the year. Pair of tickets we're going to give away tonight in the chat. Stay tuned. We'll throw the link up there and you can submit to win, and then we'll contact you and be like, what show you want to go to? And then you'll be like, well, I live in England, so I felt like I should enter the giveaway even though I have no way of coming. And then we won't give anybody tickets. So how was everybody's day? I went bowling. It was awesome.
But not really.
You guys like bowling? I haven't been bowling in forever. It was a blast.
Sorry. You just skipped, at least to me.
Yeah. Really?
No one did hear that? Like we heard nothing, and then all of a sudden we were just like, you guys like bowling?
That's all I heard, too. Did you pause for 10 seconds and then ask us about bowling? Is that what happened?
No, I said a lot of stuff. I guess they missed it. Did anybody hear about the giveaway?
Yeah. We heard about the giveaway. Okay. You were like talking about the giveaway, and you were like, pick any show you want. If you're in England, we get tickets. Yeah, you guys like bowling? It was very strange.
I read a couple lines from this manifesto I found online, and then I went straight into bowling. So we didn't miss anything. I went bowling today with the kids, and it was great. I hadn't been bowling since we were in Indianapolis, and we went bowling like the night before Gen Con, which was a blast. But
bowling is the best. It is the best.
It's just great. And I never used the what you would call the big balls until I was in my 20s, because in Massachusetts... I know. Everybody have a big laugh.
Is that what they call them? The professional bowlers?
In Massachusetts, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, I'm sure, on the show before.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
It's candlepin bowling. It's like a shot put.
I thought you were saying like a size 15 ball. I was what are you talking about?
I was like, there's some sort of law in Massachusetts that doesn't let minors use like a certain size bowling.
I finally got up to the 12 pounder. No, it still feels new to me. I've bowled at least 100 times more with candlepin bowling than I have what you would just call bowling.
What do you call candlepin bowling? Do you just call it bowling?
I call that bowling, and then I call this bowling with the big balls.
Wait, did you time travel?
That's so ridiculous.
What do you call it?
You just call that bowling. Did you time travel when you moved from Massachusetts? Were you in the 1920s and now you came?
We don't have the big balls in Massachusetts.
What are you talking about?
There are no lanes with big balls.
There's no big balls
in Massachusetts.
You heard it from a son of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
No big balls.
It's all the little balls in Massachusetts. Little balls are good.
No, if you want to go bowling in Eastern Mass, you got to do candlepin.
Yeah, it's all candlepin.
I didn't know that.
I just saw like Tom and Jerry bowling. I'm like, that's silly. That's not real. Look at Tom and Jerry bowling with those silly balls.
I've been candlepin bowling, and it doesn't make much sense to me. I feel like it would just, like, especially with a bunch of meathead idiot Eastern Massachusetts dudes. Like,
how dare you? You'd rather go with the educated elites of Philadelphia.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's equally the same. Friends. If you had candlepin bowling there, it's the same thing. Wouldn't it? Don't they throw it so hard they just break shit? Like, it's so little. Like,
they throw it hard. Damn! And you can put some spin on it, but it's a different game. You get 3 balls to knock them all down. One ball is a strike. 2 balls, if you knock them all down, is a spare. It's a different game. It's
what's 3 balls?
The more fun game.
Shitty spare.
It's not the size of the ball. It's how you use it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to say it.
I've never seen candlepin bowling. I just Googled it. That's so funny. It looks silly.
How dare you?
Have I ever asked you about does that give you more skill with skee ball? Are you a good skee ball player?
I'm a pretty good skee ball player. I'm pretty good at all games of chance.
Is skee ball a game of chance?
I'm pretty sure these are lanes games in Vegas.
The way I play it. Just throwing it backwards over here.
Woo. Hook shot.
Hookshot. Oh,
they had this great game at the arcade today, and I mean it was grew into the arcade afterwards as well. I mean, it's huge. I call it a game. It was like the size of two like 120 inch TVs, just enormous. It was called Dodgeball. It was three tokens, and you just hucked balls at targets, and it was all these people like this, and it would light up, and you'd have to hit them with the dodgeball. It was great.
Like SWAT team training.
Yeah, it's pretty much help me. But anyways, my dad was a big candlepin bowler, and he was very close to being on TV for it. And so growing up, Saturday morning, like when the cartoons ended, it was candlepin bowling was on TV. And my dad was like, he was really good, and he just was like, I don't want to be a TV bowler. But I got into it because I got into leagues. He was doing leagues, and candlepin bowling's the best. But
can
the
big I ask balls a classic Matthew clarification question?
Yes.
Why exactly would one want to be a great candlepin bowler, but not a TV candlepin bowler?
Because that's like you gotta go on the circuit. You're part of the life.
Oh, you're it like touring your and stuff. You're away from home.
Yeah, you're sleeping with bowling hookers. It's a whole lifestyle. You don't want to have to deal with bowling that. Hookers.
But they're Eastern Mass. They're smaller. The hookers are smaller.
Right. And you get three of them.
And you get three chances instead of two.
But made me a little homesick to be able to.
Can we do this in Boston before the Boston show?
You want to do some candlepin bowling?
Dude, treehouse right to candlepin bowling.
Right to some old timey lane.
That sounds like a recipe.
Get a couple Sam Oktoberfests. Play a little candlepin bowling.
Oh, no. He's going to start saying rum. Guys, careful. He's going to start saying rum instead of room.
I talk funny. Did anybody else bowl today?
I didn't happen to bowl today. No,
no one invited
I made something, a very common dish that I've never made before today.
Ah, macaroni and cheese?
I cooked, stressing out trying to get it done before this stream. I cooked a chicken marsala for the first time at home.
That's got a little wine in there, right?
Cooked down the wine sauce. I didn't even know Marsala was an actual wine. I thought it was like a city in Italy or something. Mm-hmm. They were like, I had to go. I went to the liquor store and I went up to the guy. And I was like, I want to make chicken Marsala. Where is that in a wine store? Like, I don't even know where to look. And he took me over. So what is Marsala? Is it like a dessert wine? Is it like a super sweet wine? Does anybody ever just drink Marsala or do you only cook with it?
I've only eaten it in chicken Marsala.
It's a fortified wine. So it's kind of like fortified. A vermouth or a...
It's Sicilian, isn't it?
You didn't try a little bit when you were cooking?
You didn't have a little John of Marsala?
When I say I had to cook it flawlessly with no mistakes in order for this stream to start on time. Like, I was like, like, I had no time to dick around. So, yeah. But I still have the bottle right out there, and I will try it.
I'm just imagining you gamifying cooking dinner.
I was. I was, like, cutting Brussels sprouts. I was like, how many seconds per sprout?
Did you platinum cooking the chicken marsala?
Dude, I crushed it. Like, I am like ready to go, ready to play, ready to hang out. Like 40 minutes ago, I was just like, you know, cooking down a reduction of a mushroom sauce. Like,
Did you eat it? It was
intense.
Did you get to eat
dinner? Yeah, I ate it. I mean, I shoved it in my face, burnt my tongue. It was delicious. that was my highlight today. The cooking of a new dish.
Sydney, did you cook a new dish today?
No, just an old one. I made a big old michelada.
I knew you'd have a michelada.
Yeah.
The over under on you having a michelada for this stream was -260.
-260.
I'm putting money in your pockets when you bet on me having a michelada. Actually, at this point, no, I'm not. Going to have a michelada.
The over under is a set at 1.5. So, like, you have to have two. And even I think two of them is still at -110.
I used the chamoy, the like fruit hot sauce chamoy sauce. I finally got that, put it on the rim. So I really did it up this time.
Glenn Bob says, that just looks like a jar of marinara. it looks like you're just sucking in marinara sauce.
Just took the label
out of a straw.
Off a jar of ragu.
Oh, sweet steel straw, bro.
Thank you. Good for the environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at you. Did you drive your Prius to the ragu store?
I knew he was going to lay in on you with this.
Look at old Sydney. Saving the environment, one straw at a time.
All right.
Does anybody ever worry about getting the full inside of a steel straw actually clean?
They give you little brushes.
You gotta use a brush. Cleaner.
Oh, is there brushes that? Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, you get one of these jars.
Exactly.
How about that right next to you right now?
That's for his weed. Like,
Yeah, this is from my pipe. No, Carrie Haley, years ago, I made fun of one of the many things I made fun of Portland for is that they don't give you fucking straws. So she gave me a straw and I keep it right next to my desk so I can do this from time to time.
There you go.
That's kind of fun. Yeah. You like that, Matthew?
Faster. Kate loves Faster. It. Kate loves it.
God, I just love these stupid jokes.
God. Watch this. Whoa! Kate, wine, bowling, environment?
Oh,
what do you got?
No, no. I did not bowl today. I don't really like bowling because nails. And then also my back is bad, but maybe candlepin bowling would be fine. Sure. I don't know if you can tell. I gave myself a little haircut today. My bangs are a little crooked.
Really? I didn't want to say anything.
It looked great to me.
Really good. Thought it looked a little crooked. Thanks, guys. Chat, go off about Kate's haircut.
You gave yourself a haircut.
So how do you give yourself a haircut? Just with a mirror and a pair of shears and that's it?
Just so
go
I
to
have
town?
These scissors. And in the front's easy. You just like make it shorter.
But that's what you fucked up.
What?
Oh.
That's what you said.
No, no,
right?
You haven't seen the back. You're only seeing the front. The back was shaggy too. And what I do there is I grab it while I can see it. Mm-hmm. And then I need to turn my head in order to cut. So then I can't see. So I just like start cutting like vibes, you know?
Okay.
Do you use a mirror in a mirror situation?
I should get another mirror so I don't have to do that. But no, I try to guess. And then I just boop, 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 snip, 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 close my eyes.
Do you ever consider paying someone else to do it for you?
I usually do.
Someone who can see the back of your head while they're doing it?
The person that I go to is in the city. So I have to go all the way into the city and just didn't have time. So I did it myself today.
Well, there it is. Kate cut her own hair. Nice. because she cares about the environment.
Yeah. One sea turtle saved.
Matthew, you strike me as a gentleman whose parents used a Flobee on them during childhood.
Remember the Flobee?
I remember the Flobee.
I have no idea what that is.
The Flobee?
Really? You don't know what the Flobee is?
No,
you do. Supposed to date the Flobee?
You just don't know the name. You know what it is.
Somebody invented this. It's like it cuts your hair. You just hook it up to
it's an ordinary vacuum cleaner.
It's a
peel thing, I think.
It's a vacuum. It sucks the hair and chops it in a tube so it's even.
Oh, is this like an infomercial? I'm like, oh gosh, this website is wonderful.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's still there. Flobee Factory Direct.
You can buy it.
Flobee, we'll come sponsor
They're
us.
They're expensive. The cheapest one is $80.
Look at the dude modeling it. It looks like Randy Johnson.
His shirt is like all dirty.
No, that's the shirt. It's like a pattern.
It looks dirty.
The guy modeling it looks like he's straight out of 1982, and he's just got a vacuum on his head like this.
For much of my childhood, I went to the Italian barbershop in my hometown.
Shocker.
It was all old Italian guys, and they had the team portraits of the various Italian national soccer teams on the walls. This is like lining the walls up and down.
And gangsters. And then
I realized at a certain point he was cutting my hair so that like you could only part it and slick it back. And if you didn't do that, it was just a diagonal line across my forehead. So I stopped, at a certain point I achieved consciousness. And I stopped going there. And I just it scarred me because then for a while I just got crew cuts. Like I voluntarily got crew cuts as a child.
In my imagination, this barbershop also doubled as a Italian bakery and deli. There was a guy carving. It was a guy carving meats anywhere on the premises.
No. It's New Jersey. You don't need anything to double. There's plenty of Italian businesses down the road.
So you can pick up some. What's it called? What's the meat that has that you put in an Italian sub? The
gabagool.
It's gabagool. Yeah, capicola. Gabagool. The gabagool. You get the gabagool next door.
You get the gabagool.
Some stuff for your ma.
There actually was a pastry shop and a meat market, and on the same block.
I remember the meat market. Skid, you remember the meat market?
Oh yeah, I like that place, but it's such a meat market.
Skid, how was your Saturday? Did you go for a leisurely stroll?
I didn't do anything. Talk to a realtor and watch some basketball. That's basically it.
Some good basketball on. NBA
that's some
playoffs.
Businessman stuff. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, talk
Skid,
to
I obviously I know you're a big Nuggets fan. Do you support the if we were talking about soccer, you'd be a supporter. Do you support the New York Knicks? Is that like a franchise that you kind of support?
I don't dis-support them. Okay. It's actually because when Nick Lowe and I went a couple of weeks ago, it was really fun. I've never been in town, really. We were talking about this when they've actually been good. And it was really exciting. It was awesome being in the garden, like when the Knicks were good and all these celebrities in there and everything. So, yeah, I mean, I'll sort of passively root for them. It's fine if they win.
It's like passively rooting for like a three-legged dog at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, of course you. Why wouldn't you?
Also, I just want John McEnroe to be happy because I've never seen that either.
Yeah, very exciting time of year. We got NHL playoffs, we got NBA playoffs, and we have Glass Cannon live. So thank you for spending your Saturday with us. Hopefully we'll see you next week in Kansas City or Austin. And then after that, I can't remember the next place, but it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Vancouver,
Vancouver,
and St. Paul, and then Denver and Nashville. Man, we're going to have such a fun time. I can't wait. I have purchased no less than 17 flights in the past month.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, it's a lot of flights.
A lot of flights. I'm doing the books, and I'm like, that's a lot of money out. Not a whole lot in.
These shows haven't happened yet.
I hope people come to these shows.
Yeah, exactly. We're definitely investing something in them.
Otherwise, it's going to be a major loss for the company.
Oh, you know, I said that St. Paul and Helium's almost sold out. Austin, Vancouver as well. Vancouver's like tons of tickets sold for Vancouver, well over... almost 300. So that one's almost.
Well, hold on. Take a look at this. I can just do this live. Just be like, boom.
Boom.
Ooh. I mean, ooh. You can just see.
Oh, yeah.
Dang.
What's coming, baby? Kansas City, Austin, Vancouver, St. Paul, Denver.
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 Nashville.
I don't even know.
Indianapolis, Boston, Portland, LA, and Philly. Love it. When is Philly going on sale, Troy?
You weren't listening.
I think it's next week.
Okay. I wanted an exact day. That's all. I'm done with these vagaries.
Well, City Winery's weird. They're like, we have to offer our tickets to our wine subscribers first.
Oh, they're definitely going to want in.
Make sure you offer Glass Cannon live
by
tickets.
By all means.
Wouldn't it be funny if we like sold out to the wine subscribers? All
Lovers of Merlot were like, I'll take 7, please. Thank you.
Well, that was funny because we played a comedy club recently and there were a sizable number of people there that had no idea who we were. And it was just funny, like watching those people, like try to figure out what the fuck was going on stage.
Yeah, we'll be doing that again next month.
Yeah.
And the new, have you been to this new comedy club, the new Stand Up New York, Joe? It's in Times Square.
No, I'm scheduled to go the week after Kansas City and Austin. I'm going in to scout the place.
Nice.
Yeah, that'll be
like,
fun.
We're going to have to take a wall down here, move this over here if we're really going to do a Glass Cannon. Well, it's not really Glass Cannon Live, but you know what I'm saying. We're going to do a live actual play in this room. So, yeah, I'm excited to see it, though. Times Square.
Kong, Skull Island. But tonight, we're playing Strange Aeons. I'm really, really excited. I really want to kick this show into gear this year. I want to make some edits and really push through, get through this adventure path. Because I really, really like this adventure path. And as much fun as I have doing it on the road, you know, just the sporadicness with which we play it, it loses a little bit. So the more we can get back into these characters, the better. And after we ended Toronto, I was on stage and I was like, I have to do this next encounter on Twitch. I have to, because I want Kansas City and Austin to have the aftermath of this encounter. And so that's what tonight's going to be. It is a straight up encounter. It's veil lifted. Spoiler alert. This is an encounter. And then we're going home. This might be a 40-minute episode. We'll see. But I just want to get this out of the way so that we can all digest our food and enjoy the rest of the
shorts Pathfinder 2E fights.
Yeah.
This classic shorties.
Is 40 minutes how long you think it will take to TPK us? Because that's the case.
That
could happen quickly.
That's the only way it is 45 minutes. If it's 45 minutes, it's because we got wiped fast.
He keeps saying aftermath.
Yeah.
And he's saying it in a really, really negative way. He's like, the fallout from this fight, the aftermath.
Yeah.
I don't like the way you're saying that.
I know. But maybe I'm just getting you nervous for no reason. Maybe this will be a cakewalk and I'll be watching the Bruins that I'm taping in like 20 minutes.
We'll just be like, this was so much fun hanging out. And while people watch this hang out.
It won't be. It'll be, it's going to be horrible. That's going to be horrible. It's going to be horrible. Like, I'm predicting horrible.
Let's all put our over-unders. I think it's going to be horrible.
That's the attitude.
Yeah, horrible. It's going to be horrible for us, for the audience.
I think he's lying. And what's in the room is actually going to be a friend.
Oh.
Maybe what's in the room is the friendships we made along the way.
Yeah.
You ever think about that? Joe? Quick recap. I don't have a recap written down because it doesn't matter at this point. You have
It's never mattered for the show anyway.
You we're in book four at this point. We have been you've traveled all the way from an asylum to the city where the count was to a boat trip chasing the count, and you got to the city of Casimir, and now you want to go from Casimir to your next stop, as far as you know, is this mysterious library of the occult in Kadira, in the city of Kathir. But you stop in Casimir first because that's where the boat takes you, and you would have just gone straight to the Mysterium, but you realize that one of Lyle's associates lives in Casimir, someone by the name of Myaknian Mun, this like alchemist friend, this guy that basically helped seemingly make the drugs that put you in a catatonic state so that Laos could put you into the asylum. So this guy he's an important character in your lives. Some of you are just your backup characters. But it's even more important for Skid's character, Aldo, because in Aldo's backstory, when Laos sort of courted Aldo and saved him from his enslavement by these Knoll slavers, Myaknian Mun was there, and he remembers seeing him, and he was like, oh, this guy, he's got some alchemist skills. I think we should bring him in. You should have this guy come work for you. And Laos was like, all right, Mun, calm down. So you're like, we got to look into this Mun fellow while we're here, and then we'll go to Kadira, which is very, very far away, mind you. So you come to his house. It's this old infirmary. It looks like a haunted house. There's like statues of angels. It was like a prison infirmary that Mun got a good deal on and turned it into his laboratory. You very quickly realize he is not there. He's gone. You find out later that he left with Count Lyles to go to the Mysterium. But he left in his stead all of these creatures, these alchemical constructs for the most part, that he created, some in his image, these hollow ones, that sort of one was really polite, one was really angry, and one was really sad, perhaps showing three different signs of Mun's personality, or perhaps they went haywire and just went like full id in one direction. But there's this other situation going on deep, deep below the infirmary. There are these creatures from the Darklands known as Darrows. And it seems like Mun made some sort of deal with the Darrows to build skins, like kill people and take their skins. And well, the Darrows going to then wear these skins and walk around town? Good day to you. Just a regular human being walking around Casimir. Killed all of them. Stopped that plight. But the whole time... And this goes back to right when you arrived in Casimir, when you talked to the shipbuilder.
The guy that talked like this.
Mun was always talking about his anomalous friend. You kept hearing this phrase, his anomalous friend, his anomalous friend. It was anomalous friend that lives in the attic. So you finally climb the ladder to the attic. And by you, I mean Ethel Merman. Let's go to the map. When you get there... Looks like Atticus is in there, too. That's cool. Didn't notice that until just now. You get into the attic, and ivy is everywhere. It's on the walls. It's on the ceiling. It's like this carpet of green. Endless trailing vines flowing in through broken windows and then out again, covering the floor like a living carpet. There's this sickening scent of decay hiding within the scent of fresh vegetation. And you see the skeletal remains of several humanoids lying about this vine-choked room. The attic raises about 10 feet overhead. There are, what would you call them?
like beams, support beams.
Eaves,
like, yeah. It's like, it looks like there's another section, like a very small section in the eaves up there with the support beams. But there's so many vines up there, you can't even tell. However, Ethel, I can't remember if you rolled a perception check or if you heard something or what, but you look up and you see this creature sitting amongst the ivy, laying there, camouflaged, basically. But it made a move to attack you. How would you describe this? It's obviously, I have this shitty little pawn that I stole off the internet, so it shows a background that doesn't make any sense. But it's like, it's got three legs that are like almost like elephant legs with huge fucking toenails, and then its body is this mass of skin and mouths with sharp teeth, and then from the body of mouths is just several tentacles flying up into the air, and all of this is clinging to the eaves. It is almost like become the room, and it scares you.
Yeah, no kidding.
You can't speak for him.
Question.
Yes.
Am I in the room, or am I like on the ladder, like having popped my head into the room?
You are right there in the room.
Okay.
That's how I remember it.
I remember differently, but I'll go with your version.
Joe, I imagined you listened to this just last night. What do you remember?
Yeah, unfortunately I didn't. It's wild because I shouldn't have listened to the beginning, but the beginning was so fun. And I wasted a lot of time on that. I got to about 8 minutes from the end and ran out of time and had to jump on here. So yeah, I don't know the last couple minutes of exactly what happened, but I seem to remember from the show that Ethel went up to see what was up there. We had to start somewhere, and Ethel went first, and that's what I remember.
Yeah, my note just says, we see a room, or Ethel sees a room of vines and putrid fruit, and we see an enormous mass of tentacles.
Yes. So my memory of it as well, Matthew, is that you went up there and you didn't see it at first. You went up there and started looking around, and then maybe I rolled a secret perception or you rolled it. I can't remember, but there was some sort of perception stealth situation, and then it was revealed to you. Now, Atticus, right. are you in the room, or is your pawn just, are you just being silly?
I'm not in there. I don't know if it's a little glitchy on your end or something.
Okay.
Nobody else sees me in there, right? I don't see it on stream.
No.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to reload my John. As you see this monstrosity and you realize you're looking up the ceiling, like, what is going on up there? It looks like it's breathing. Oh, my God. What is that thing? A voice enters not only your mind, but all of your minds. And it is this same strange voice that you heard back at the Mad Poets Oasis. A voice that has followed you at different portions of your journey since then. You heard this voice as you approached the door to Mun's infirmary. You heard it elsewhere as you were fighting some of these constructs. Well, yet again, as you see this thing, this voice enters your mind and says,
it sends its tendrils through their minds to gather its strength. But despite your knowledge, you are clean. You can stop it. That's a big difference.
Is this a typo?
If I said you can't stop it, that would be just useless.
I'm reading from the useless prompter.
Hold on. I need my glasses. You can stop it.
You did say this in the episode, at least part of this. This voice was in Ethel's head in Kansas City saying about the tendrils moving through. It's, talking about some mysterious it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't let it infect this world and serve it to Carcosa. So you hear that. All of you hear that, not just Ethel. Roll for initiative.
Oh, right.
I rolled my initiative using Don Juan in the hotel room before the Toronto show.
Why? And
let me guess. Natural 19s across the board.
I don't know.
It happened again in Kansas City. I was listening to in Toronto. I was listening back to the Toronto show. It's just unbelievable. Like, We had a couple super, super high rolls, and you were like 37 initially.
What? I don't believe in luck, but I have fantastic rolling luck. Aldo, what did you get?
26 for Aldo.
26. Eris.
17.
17 for Eris. Atticus.
31 for Atticus.
Very, very good. Sooks Magooks.
25.
25. And I saved you for the end, Matthew, because you looked sad by your initiative. It's very sad.
It's always sad when you roll single digits in important moments, especially ones that are less than four.
Oh, no.
I rolled a natural three for a 23.
Wow. That's pretty good. It's a plus 20.
Yeah.
To your niche.
My battlefield surveyor gives me a plus two circumstance bonus to perception, and I was perceiving. I also get... What?
Can you add two to mine? It's been a while.
Did you just make up a number, and now you're, also, now you're looking at him like, no, it's not that.
When Matthew mentioned one of his abilities, I always forget Suki has incredible initiative, and I get a plus two bonus to my initiative rolls. I always forget.
Always.
I also get a free demoralize check. Because I really think I can demoralize this Eldritch Horror, but I could roll a natural 20, so why not bring it up?
And does that come during initiative?
Remind when me. Rolling initiative, demoralize, absorb, yeah.
Please try to demoralize this otherworldly monstrosity.
Julian, yeah, exactly.
This doesn't even make any sense.
I didn't roll a natural 20, but it is a 32.
And that is against my will to see that as a fail.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be funny, though. So, I wasn't expecting you.
I also have battle cry, but I'm not observing this foe, so.
That is true.
Eris frequently demoralizes these eldritch enemies.
Yeah, she's freaky.
I'll have you know I had a plus 23 to my initiative, so I don't have to roll high to go first.
Beat a 23.
Which is, well, yeah, to beat a 23, I didn't have to roll very high. All right, so. Let's get down to business. Once again, thank you everybody for hanging out with us tonight.
Thanks for watching live, guys.
Things are gonna get weird.
Sound off in chat. What would you like my character to be in Kansas City?
Oh, no.
See, that's part of the aftermath, fun. Sydney.
It's, I mean, like, honestly,
you'll have time to re-roll a new character.
Right. Of course.
A lowly shopkeep that works in Casimir.
I just want to say. I know I always do this. I do. And, like, it could totally go our way if the rolls go our way. But there's a history on these live sort of streams of true Eldritch Horrors and tight quarters. And that result is TPK. We have TPK'd against Eldritch Horrors in tight quarters before. Yes. Because of AOOs, inabilities to do anything without provoking a creature that has such a high to hit that it hits every time it rolls. And it's very, very, very dangerous. That's why I'm honestly very scared that we're going to lose major characters in this campaign tonight.
You fought in Side Quest Side Sesh I think it was a spawn of Yogg-Sothoth.
That's what I'm talking about.
It looked very similar to this, but it had like a lady's head on top of one of the tentacles.
We were a lot of clerics. There was a lot of like, it was kind of a funny party kind of thing. But
I love that character.
It was a great character you had. And the point was like, I don't think there was a party that could beat that thing without good rolling on your side, because it was just like. We didn't even get close, you know? It's not like, if we had a better balanced party. Anyway, I'm nervous. I hate tight quarters!
There's also a history of killing Matthew's Strange Aeon's characters on live streams.
It's true.
Yes.
You have the highest body count of this adventure. Here's what we're going to do first. Let's just get this out of the way. Go ahead and give me a save of the will variety, Matthew. Because while... it's not particularly demoralized by your presence. You feel a little scared.
Natural two.
Oh, no. Wait, do you have a bottle, John?
Do you have a bottle cap?
Are we starting tonight with bottle caps?
Oh, you know what?
We start every live show with one each, don't we?
We do?
No, not necessarily. And they clear out between shows. I'm going to say yes.
No, no, no.
You all have a show. You all have a show. You all have a cap for going into tonight's session.
Okay. Yeah. I had one.
They reset.
They reset. But usually he gives us one at the start of a live show.
Here you go. Man, if you were here physically, I'd give it to you, but I'm just my hands are tied.
I'm not going to use it. I think this is going to be demoralized or frightened or something. So I'm going to risk it.
What if it's panicked? What if
it's like he takes?
It's actually fine if it's panicked. None of us are up there.
I survived.
Yeah, yeah.
The form has been chosen. He said he's not using it. You are frightened for.
Oh.
Okay. However, all right. I have bravery.
Oh, yeah, that's good. So, frightened three.
Right, frighten me? I'm brave.
I reduce it by one.
Oh, you reduce the frightened by one? All right.
Yeah, you don't poop your pants, you just pee your pants.
Exactly.
Okay. Significantly better.
I smell brisket. All right, so you're frightened three then, as opposed to four on a critical failure for
critical
that.
Critical failure, dude.
And then I will take my turn. First thing,
I, in retrospect, support not using the cap. I think Frightened 3 can deal with it. Goes away over time. Cap could save your life tonight. So,
you know, this is the thing about playing a frontline fighter. Like, when it's great, it's great. But when you're just like attacked by something like this, you're like, well, guess I can get up to pee whenever I need to tonight.
Yeah. I'm gonna read the chat and start rolling up a new character.
That's fun. Call in everybody. Who should Matthew play next? Bethel? Ethel's long lost sister? All right, so these...
What musical theater star's name would you like to see me bastardize next?
These tentacles that are clinging to the ceiling, one lashes out to attack you. And it is a 36 to hit.
Hold on.
That's a hit, not a crit.
It is a crit because of my frightened condition.
Oh, exactly.
It is a crit, exactly.
Oh, shit. Yes. Oh, I thought you were a little higher. Oh, boy.
My AC is 29. I'm frightened 3. It's 26.
Ugh.
We could be out of here in 40 minutes after
all. Oh, my God.
All right. You take 44 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
First action. The tentacle just... Shaboom! Second action, it grabs you. Third action, it constricts you. Give me a fortitude save.
Just confirming, there is no action associated with the frightened force. Just the presence of
presence,
the creature.
It's an aura.
Natural 20.
Natural 20. All right, so that's a basic fortitude save, so you won't take any damage from the constrict.
And I'm because
holy
I'm also
shit, dude. That is
hardened.
Huge!
That's a bit... Battle hardened, does that increase your success one step?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Oh, so it
So all I needed to roll was a success to get a critical success. But I had to roll natural 20, so it felt that much sweeter.
That's great. Is that something that's constant, or you have to tick battle hardened now?
It is as a feat I have.
Wow. That is going to come in handy. All right, so you are grabbed by this thing. You are frightened 3, and you just took 44 points of damage on a crit. One of its many tentacles is holding you. And it is now Atticus's turn.
Ugh, what a disaster. What a horrible character to have to go next. Well, just so far away in a different room. So stupid.
Here's what I'm going to say. The way everyone is positioned is important in terms of the action economy. I don't want to hamstring you unnecessarily. But since going up the ladder is a climb action, the way I see it is like, I think that one could argue that Eris can just get up there in one action, but the rest of you have to move to the ladder and then climb. What I will say, to be fair, is since most of you
here's
only
the other thing.
Yeah,
sorry, go. You know,
I was going
to
say
ahead.
Is
to
like, just to be fair, because it is kind of like random where you're standing. If you have movement left over, you could use it at the top of the ladder. You know what I mean? Like, if you move 10 feet to the ladder and then use a second action to climb, you can use the rest of your 15 feet up there, should you choose. This thing is taking up the whole ceiling, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we don't have much space to move is the thing, but I guess that's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, this is what I don't get. It's like, even if we were better players, like, you still, somebody has to go up there first.
Yeah. Don't talk to yourselves like that.
We also.
I mean, unless, did. Like, what, you, like, materialize through the walls or something? Like, how do you get the party in there together at
we're
once?
We're forgetting, too, there are the eaves. There are beams above. So, I don't know, like, for instance, Suki could go into an aerial form, could fly up as her full movement to land on a beam above, and then, you know, she'll be out of the way for everybody else.
So it's sort of like a platform?
But then you need another action to get out of that form. You can't do shit in that form.
Regardless, yeah. Even if I move up there, yeah, I'm done. If I go climb the ladder and then move into space, I can't do any spells anyway.
Right, so basically we can just kind of get up there and then we're completely at its mercy and we can do nothing to it this round. Unless we had single action strikes. But we're a bunch of freaking spellcasters. And I mean, obviously, Skid could throw a bomb. But like, all right, so Atticus going first is going to try to rely on, he's going to try to rely on invisibility to at least get into that place and not provoke for at least a round. So I am going to go invisible, and then I'm going to move next to the ladder so that next round I can move one action in there.
All right. Invisible next to the ladder. It is Suki's turn.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of said that on the whim about go flying up, but I think I might do that. What are you going to say, Joe?
Real quick. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to put the map back up. I'm also producing the stream, so I'm a little slow on the uptake. Apologies. All right, so the guy at the bottom of the ladder, can you just get rid of him? Because that's confusing, and he is not there.
Holoman is dead.
The Holoman dematerialized. He pulled himself apart in screaming agony. Right. Yeah, so he is not there. So I think that could mean... No, logically, that Eris is actually in that space already. If Eris didn't have to take a move action to get to the ladder or whatever, because he was not there. Yeah. Okay, great. All right, sorry. Go ahead. You guys are up.
And don't forget Pepsi.
How could we forget Pepsi?
I would never forget Pepsi.
I think Pepsi could be right next to you.
Pepsi is right next to you.
I don't like him.
I know. You make it abundantly clear every show. Suki is going to cast aerial form, and she will take, I mean, why not? Or, you know what? She'll take the form of Hawkey. She'll just be Hawkey.
Form of Hawkey.
Hawkey. And she's going to fly up, up the ladder, up the chute, into the attic, and then she's going to fly to one of those beams. And I'm sure she flies up and thinks in her head, oh, shit. Oh, fuck. Oh, God. Oh, no. And she just flies onto the beam as Hawkey.
Is that two actions to go into aerial form and you know you have enough flight speed and movement to get up,
yeah,
to get up there?
There's Hawkey.
Oh, boy. There's Hawkey.
Who's that lady?
What's happening?
Not that lady. That's not me.
There, Hawkey. You said you turned into Hawkey.
Just such a good visual pun. Hawkey. I love Hawkey. Yes, I move. That's all my actions.
All right, so you fly up to the eaves.
Yeah.
Give me a will save.
Where are you going to put yourself on the map?
Yeah, I will give you control of Hawkey.
Oh.
That's got it. Okay.
All Hawkey? The whole, just the sport in general?
You said will save?
Yeah, will save as you fly up there and take in this horrible thing.
22? Yeah.
That is a critical failure. You are frightened for.
Shit. God damn it.
22 is a critical.
Matthew's bad luck failure is rubbing off on me. I rolled a 3.
I just had a natural 20.
No.
That is one scared Hawkey. That is. Toronto Maple Leafs.
I get it now.
Okay, and then Pepsi.
Took a little while. She got it.
Pepsi is going to.
You're talking to someone who has a signed autographed picture from the Hanson brothers.
You fly up there and you're just like shook by this thing you see. You've never seen anything like this. Maybe in your worst nightmares you haven't seen anything like this.
question.
Yeah.
Pepsi can use one action to either stride or strike. Pepsi can't climb the ladder with its stride action, right? That'd be a separate thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one action Pepsi could climb the ladder.
Yeah, it's just, I mean,
Skid, Pepsi, have you ever seen a snake climb a ladder?
Can't happen.
Snakes can climb trees. You guys need to stop this disparaging snake talk. Snakes are amazing climbers. Like, amazing climbers.
They can climb.
They don't have legs.
You know what? You make a really fair point.
How do they
point.
Go from rung to rung? I think Pepsi is out of the adventure.
I'm so... Or first you try to ever. Kill Pepsi in the last episode. Now you say a snake can't climb a ladder. This is blasphemous. All right. Pepsi climbs the ladder, but only makes it, like, one square over from the ladder. Makes it just up to the top, and that's everything that they can do.
Okay. So remember that. Answer. Everybody else climbing up the ladder, you got to go past the snake smoking a cigarette. Just casually going rung to rung.
Hey, guys, sorry. Only one action. It's Aldo's turn.
I'll be up there in a sec.
There's another ladder here at the southeastern corner of the room. Is that going up?
Southeastern corner.
Like south of Ethel? Oh,
yeah, so south of Ethel is another ladder leading up to the eaves.
Oh.
Yeah, in fact, you want to see something sweet? I'm so, like, in the zone here. If old hockey is going to the eaves, look just south of this map. You'll see another map there.
I'm going to put hockey in the eaves.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm going to put this thing there, too.
It's everywhere.
Okay, I guess I'll put hockey there, on the eave, sitting on the eave.
Okay. Sitting on the eaves. All right, Aldo, what are you thinking?
I don't know. Like, he can't even see what's going on up there. He just probably hears screaming.
You hear screeching.
And, yeah, hawk screeching. It sounds awful up there. But I'm honor bound to investigate and help if I can. So he's going to... I'm going to try to, like, I want to go up. I want to go all the way up to the eaves. I want to, like, go up to this floor and just keep going.
Okay, I think it's safe to say you could do that in three actions.
Okay.
Yeah, get to the ladder, climb up the ladder. I'm just going to say you use your whole round to get up to basically here. On the map, that would be, like, right at the top of the ladder in the eaves. You look across the eaves and you see a hawk just shitting onto the floor. Go ahead and give me a will save.
As you stand
10 feet away from hell.
That's a 26.
26 is a regular failure. Sydney, I made an error. You rolled a 22?
Yeah.
22 is just a regular failure. So you're frightened 2. Not frightened 4. I was looking at the wrong DC. I just saw that.
Huge difference.
Skid, your Aldo is frightened 2 as well.
All right.
For this ability, it goes failure is frightened 2, critical failure is frightened 4.
Oh, boy.
All right, so all three of you are up there and in various states of frightened. It is now Ethel's turn. Ethel, you are caught by this thing. You saw a bird come flying up the ladder, and you saw Aldo, like, rush up, go right next to you, and keep climbing up to the top.
I'm just going to fight this thing. I'm grabbed. I'm frightened 3. And so I'm just going to double slice. To start.
Okay.
Okay. Holy shit. Natural 20 on the
Warhammer. Oh, yeah. What's
up?
Natural 20 on the Warhammer. And the great start.
I'm sorry, the Kukri. Apparently, I'm wielding the Kukri right now. No, that's a mistake. That's a mistake.
At a certain point, you dropped the hammer. But you would have picked it up between combats.
Okay, so the hatchet is a natural 7, so that's only going to be a 25.
Yeah. All right, so the hatchet misses, but the Warhammer is obviously a crit. Joe, give me a fan critical from anywhere on planet Earth.
Fan critical coming in hot from anywhere on planet Earth. all right, this one from Foreman in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know if this is Foreman, like,
is this Foreman from the Twitch?
From the Twitch.
Foreman.
Twitch Foreman?
Foreman, are you from Atlanta? I can't remember.
Foreman 2317?
Foreman, are you here, you Foreman? Son of a bitch? This crit better be good, buddy.
If you're here, throw your panties in the chat.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, I just have... all right, here we go. From Foreman in Atlanta, Georgia. Peachy Keen.
Sounds
your
good.
Your attack moves so fast. It sharpens your weapon.
Oh,
deal double damage, and your weapon gains a keen rune for 1d4 rounds.
Oh, shit.
This applies to any weapon category.
Wow.
So your Warhammer has an expanded crit range. I don't know if I've read up on keen.
I'm looking right now. They're preternaturally sharp. Attacks with this weapon are a critical hit on a 19 on the die, as long as a 19 results in a success.
Wow.
Yeah, baby.
All right, so Matthew, roll a d4, see how many rounds this is going to be keened. That's a good crit for me.
Yeah, that's
good
a good one.
Crit for me.
Three rounds.
Nice. Come on, buddy.
That's about as long as Ethel's going to live. So I think that's a pretty good result.
All right, and double damn Zony. So give me that dub damn.
That's peachy right. keen. That's
and
pretty
roll,
keen.
Roll once and double everything, right? That's how we do this.
Yes.
I don't know why my brain can't retain that information. Okay, so that'll be 44 points of damage.
Okay. You notice immediately, this is a bludgeoning weapon?
It is a bludgeoning weapon.
Yeah,
it
you notice.
It is magical. It's +2.
You notice immediately it does not all go through.
Okay, well then, that's important because 8 points of that was cold.
Points of that was cold, which would all go through.
Yeah.
If it didn't have any situation with cold. Okay, yeah. So 8 points was cold, the rest was bludgeoning?
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. So it hurt, but did not all go through. Your weapon is now keened for 3 rounds. You have one more attack, or was that?
Yeah, I got one more attack. I got one more action.
Yeah.
But I didn't hit with both.
Is grabbed lowering your chance to hit?
I believe so. Let's
anyway, if not, frightened might be.
I don't think it does in 2E.
Frightened is definitely no. Grab has no effect. Frightened does, though.
Grabbed lowers your AC or something.
It makes you off guard.
It makes you off guard and immobilized.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? There's nothing else I can do while I'm grabbed. I mean, I guess I could try to escape, right?
Could try to escape.
Fuck that, dude. Just hit it. Like
athletics to escape?
Yeah, but it also takes the map. And
you're frightened, I think.
You know it's going to have a crazy high.
Escape has the attack action. Yeah.
It's going to be, it gets its athletics DC. And what do you think this thing's athletics are?
Frightened is a status penalty to all your checks and DCs, just so you know.
Yeah. My athletics is my best skill, but I'll take the third. I'll take the, you know what I'll do? I will battle medicine myself.
Oh.
Try to keep me in the fight a little longer.
Okay. How bad are you doing already?
I'm down about a third of my hit points.
Can you battle medicine? Can you battle medicine yourself without a free hand?
It requires a flat check because it has the manipulate trait. So I just rolled the flat check apparently because I passed the flat check.
Okay.
And then I'll roll it. If Joe, tell me I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Natural 19 on the medicine check, so I rolled better. I think that might be a crit, right, Joe? Let's see.
Yeah, so it would be 4d8 healing, but I just don't, you know, it's... Oh, you have to be holding a healer's toolkit. I knew it was something. So you have to be holding a healer's kit.
All right.
So it's an action to remove the kit, basically.
He can't hold it because he's grabbing.
And he's got two weapons. He's got a weapon in each hand.
Right, that makes sense.
Well, then I'll just take that back and swing away.
Okay.
Almost certainly going to miss, but let's see. 23.
23 is a miss, but hey, nice crit.
Not too shabaroo. Nice.
Not too shabaroo.
And I go down to frightened too.
And you go down to frightened too. Hey, things are looking up for this squad.
Could be worse.
Let's finish off the round.
Could be frightened too.
Eris. Ethel is in trouble.
No. Yeah, I feel like she's the last one to go up the ladder, and she just keeps hearing everyone go up there and maybe like just screaming in fear. She's like, maybe that's why she's hesitating on going up. So, yeah, first action, go up the ladder. Pop up right next to Ethel. And I guess...
And give me a will save now that you see this thing.
The will save.
Takes up the whole ceiling. Wow, these mouths.
She looks at it. And that's going to be a 31.
31 is a success.
Nice.
She was mentally prepared to see something nuts.
You are still frightened one, unfortunately, even with a success. Okay. But that will end soon.
Frightened. All right. And now with my next two actions, I want to cast Chilling Darkness. So I gotta roll a spell attack roll.
All right, so you just see this thing, you steel yourself against the fear as best you can, and then you cast Chilling Darkness.
Chilling Darkness. Okay, let's see. That's a 29 to hit.
29 to hit is a miss.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
29 to hit is a miss? Or yeah. Was that a spell attack roll?
It was a spell attack roll, yeah.
Okay. What'd you roll on the die?
11.
Yeah, so it was about. Yeah. This is a boss. It's going to happen.
All right,
Chilling Darkness.
So,
Chilling Darkness.
Yeah, even though she's not afraid, she's maybe using everything she has to not be as frightened, so the spell just like evaporates in her hands and doesn't go off.
And you just hear Ethel being squeezed by this thing. We go to the top of round two. And it is the creature's turn. You are grabbed by this thing, Ethel. And its body is it's very amorphous in the way that it, like, its tentacles come out. It's like constantly undulating and moving. And as you're standing there, a piece of its like body starts edging towards you, and a mouth like unfolds from the skin and puts itself on your body, like the tentacle is pushing you towards the mouth, and the mouth starts like a lamprey. It suctions onto your body and starts like sucking the life out of you.
Ugh.
Give me a fortitude save.
All right, well, fingers crossed here. Natural 20.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Stopped right now.
Wow!
Holy shit!
You know what? I'm gonna start lying. Also,
I can prove it. I can prove it.
Oh my god!
Need the Matthew Cam.
Holy crap! Wait! Hold it!
Nice.
Oh, I can see it.
He's right.
Nice. Wow.
He's right.
Wow. You can see all of the toddler mess on my floor. Sorry. Wow.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Wow. That is...
You've left Troy speechless.
That is amazing. I mean, you just... you just saved your life. This mouth, it like feeds on you and it pulls back, and somehow it didn't get your essence, your life essence, and hey, you are okay.
That's mine. That's mine. All right? I don't have much, but that's mine.
Just reading this extra paragraph here. Shout out to Luis Loza, who did the conversion of this book. The monster in the original is horrible. This new version of it really captures the spirit of the original monster, but takes it in a really cool new direction. And then also, I've updated with the remaster as well. So it's just really, really fucking cool play.
Devil May Bry pointed out his ex-wife already took his essence.
There's nothing left. There's nothing here.
Nothing left. Yeah. You took it all.
They took your wife essence. They can at least leave you your life essence.
All right. So then what's going to happen is a tentacle, with its final action, a tentacle is going to come out and strike someone else because it has multiple tentacles. We've got Hockey, we've got Aldo, and we've got Ethel. 1-2 Hockey. 3-4 Ethel, excuse me, Eris. 5-6 Aldo. I didn't tell you anything. That is a 2. It's coming after Eris. Oh. Eris.
Oh.
Question. Man. When I was frightened in my turn, when my turn ended, did that go down?
You know, I was gonna ask that. I think so. Yeah, like you became frightened at the beginning of your turn, and at the end of your turn, your frightened goes down by 1. So
okay.
All right, so this is going to be a straight up tentacle attack. Oh, that's, I mean, a guaranteed crit. I mean, absolute rocks. 35 to hit.
Not a crit. Definitely a hit. Not a crit now that I'm not frightened. If I was still frightened, then yes.
I'm sorry. The reason I thought it was a crit is because it is. I added wrong. It's 45 to hit.
Yeah, yeah. When you said absolute rocks, I was like, that's not 35.
Sorry.
Come on.
I'm sorry, Kate.
Yeah, but also, hold on a second. Why would you not be frightened? You should be frightened 1, right?
I was during my turn. At the end of my turn, it went down.
No, but you succeeded on the roll, right?
And that was
frightened 2.
No,
that was frightened 1. Frightened 2 is failure. Frightened 4 is critical failure. Got it. Okay. Great.
Are you ready for this?
Sure.
You take 52 points of damage.
Okay.
Suki.
What happens? Suki. He just like whips
Get
me?
Get to work.
I'm a bird.
I know.
Birds can heal.
Well, stop being a bird ever. Except in... God.
I'm a fucking druid. What am I supposed to do?
You're supposed to heal everybody, and for whatever reason, birds can't heal shit.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe. When your character dies, I really hope you consider coming back as a cleric. That's all I'm going to say.
I did my part.
Campaign 2.
I did my duty.
All right, so these are 2 crits. Might to hit obviously is decent, but like I'm rolling really well. 52 points of damage and 44 to Matthew. Just rough start. Thank God Matthew has had a couple of crits on his
natural 20s.
Huge. I'm still likely gonna die. That's the crazy thing. All those natural 20s on those saves, and it's still really gonna kill me.
There may be a fate worse than death. It is Atticus's turn.
Okay, Atticus will slip up into the John Jamsky. It's time.
Mm-hmm. You're invisible.
So he's invisible. He will come up into the room, and I think he has enough movement, I guess, to get over by what? Next to Pepsi, right? Like up the ladder and then over?
That's fine.
Do
that's
we
your,
care about this?
Two actions? Well, move up the ladders, climb action, and then you walk.
But I thought you said you were going to give us the extra movement we have because the ladder's 10 feet.
Right, I was just assuming you would use that all in one round. You're like carrying over movement from the previous round.
No, I'm saying I started my turn next to the ladder.
Right.
This is why I moved last round.
I got you. Yeah, you know, I let Eris do it, so it's fine. It's fine. I do need you to roll a will save, though.
Yeah, this is the big one.
You got decent will, right?
I do. But, like, I got to roll decent to get this success, and actually I was loosely basing that off of your fake DC that you gave us earlier. But it still needs to be a pretty decent roll.
Mm-hmm.
God. And I'm considering bottle capping just because.
Oh, thank God!
It changes everything. Frightened is horrible for a caster because all your saves go down by that much. Mm-hmm. So that is a good roll. And it will be, apologies, real quick, it will be a 35. 35.
35 is a success, not a critical success. So you're just frightened one, which will end at the end of your turn.
Frightened one, which will end at the end of my turn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Frightful presence.
Frightful presence.
Classic.
Oh, man. Classic. Yeah. Classic. Frightful presence. Shit. Two actions left. I hate to do this with a penalty to my DCs for my saves, but
I should also point out, now you probably want to go on the offensive here, but among anyone in this party, this creature speaks to you more than anyone. You know what I mean? Like, you have your Rolodex is like, what? I think I know what this is. Or like, if I don't know, there is another mind that knows, that has informed me. Something to think about.
So yeah, you're not wrong. I'm sitting here trying to think, because you know what else is, like, I've got some spells prepared that are juicy, and they're like, for example, I'll just tell you, fireball, heightened. They're AoEs that would really hurt my allies. I can't get them off in this room. It's brutal. So it's painful for me right now looking at this character sheet.
I abuse that spell in Baldur's Gate.
And then I'm looking.
Couldn't you set it off in like the far northwestern
look
corner?
Do the math. It hits our allies. It's 20-foot radius. So it's like, even everybody above, everybody below, it hits everybody.
The room is a 20-foot radius. Yeah. It's a 20-foot, 20 by 20 square.
Yeah. So if I put it in the back corner, you know, it hurts everybody. So anyway. And then my other great options are illusions. Yeah, sure. I'm going to trick this thing. All right, so.
Is this your card?
You know what? I'm sorry about this, guys. I think people are probably going to die. But I'm going to spend an action recalling knowledge. Now, I have a trinket that was from 1E. It didn't cross over. This is my my amulet that is my bonded item. It's my amulet that hangs around my neck. It's an eldritch amulet. This is the key item of the archetype that I was. Remember, we got voted like archetypes and stuff like that. This was my. It was like Eldritch
John
something. Yeah. Eldritch John, wizard, and you have this amulet that acts as your bonded item, and it also gives you a bonus to detect aberration and all.
Elder Mythos Scholar,
that was it. And all detect knowledge checks on, or all recall knowledge checks on aberrations. We never really transitioned that to 2 each, right? So I don't know if you think that is like a plus 2 on recall knowledge or something like that against aberrations of this, of the Eldritch pantheon. I don't know. What do you think?
I do? I'm fine with that. Give yourself a plus 2.
Okay, and then occultism, right? You would say?
Yeah, occultism. Pretty straightforward. And that's your best one, right?
Yeah, so
tied for your best.
Tied for best with Arcana. I will roll occultism. Natural 20, dude. Natural 20 on the recall knowledge. That is an adjusted 44. Oh my god, this is amazing. Atticus of all people, looking at this thing, it's just like, I do not fear you. I know what you are.
Awesome.
So. In the pantheon of the outer gods, the elder gods, and whatnot, I mean, there are just so many different ones, and while they share so many similarities, they're all different, and they all are kind of like focused on different horrible things, whether it's a god of chaos, a god of pain, a god of sex. You see in this one, something similar to the great old one known as Shub-Niggurath. Shub-Niggurath is... I mean, I don't even know the best way to describe this. Have you ever heard of this?
Have you
ever heard of Shub-Niggurath?
I have not. Skid,
the black
you have?
Goat of the woods. Their nickname is the Black Goat of the Woods with 1,000 Young. It is an outer god in the Cthulhu mythos, and or outer goddess in the pantheon. It is a perverse fertility deity said to appear as a hellish cloud-like entity. Oftentimes, these creatures don't make their appearance known in the world, but they infect the world with their spawn. And this is a dark spawn of Shub-Niggurath.
Wow. Okay.
Well, this is so cool. I'm a huge fan of, like, Greek and Norse mythology, and so much of it is, you know, like, these half-breed gods. Like, Zeus has, you know, sex with a million women who are mortals. And then there's all these kids running around that are, like, half-gods. And they're terrible. They're the worst.
They're the worst.
The worst ones. This is so cool.
It also reminds me, just the way you speak of it, Troy, and then Sydney, the way you chime in, it reminds me of how, Sydney, you actually own a copy of The Last Key of Solomon.
The Lesser Key of Solomon.
And how that is such a big thing in Impossible Landscapes. Like, you hear of these demons that were actually written in these actual books in, like, the, whatever, 1500s, 1600s and shit. And they're so, like, their names all sound like that. And yeah, they're always these, like, the black goat of the woods is, like, a total, like, he commands 50 armies, and he, blah, blah, you know, yeah, all these strange sayings about them, like, and they're, it's just crazy. Anyway.
As the outer god of fertility, Shub-Niggurath is reputed to have 1,000 young, but it's possible she has even more than that. And they're just all over the place. Now, how this came into Mun's hands, what effects it may have had on Mun, it's just, this is end of the world type shit. If left to its own devices, it would grow and grow and grow. It's possible it started out as just a tiny little larvae and then grew to take on this attic. So that's what you see.
In our knowledge as the players, would we know, like, no matter what, these great old ones, are they evil? Are they, like, chaotic evil, all of them, or...
Yes. The easiest answer is yes, but it's almost like what they are is beyond...
It's beyond that.
The concept of good and evil.
Okay, yeah.
Right, categorizing them as good or evil is assuming that they have any connection to our concepts of reality or morality.
Yeah, that's like, a good point. A god
they,
is
they far transcend
good nor evil.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
The cults that worship, the cults that worship Cthulhu and all of these guys, like, they, in their mind, they want to open up these portals for the gods to come here because they think the gods will then favor them. When oftentimes, like, favoring them still means they get obliterated, because just to look upon these things is sometimes enough to just, you know, have you deteriorate. So this is just one of its spawn.
All right, so
horrible stuff.
Not to be crass, but for the natural, like, 20, come on, can you give me some mechanical...
You get 2 pieces of information?
2 pieces of information.
So you tell me what you want to know. Is it resistances? Is it immunities? Is it abilities?
I would love to know...
Mix and match.
Yeah, I mean, are you saying that, like, immunity or resistances and weaknesses are two different things? That's two different things? Yeah, let's just say resistances and weaknesses.
Or immunities.
Or immunities and weaknesses, yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a little bit of each. You got a natural 20, but also this is your jam. So here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that it's immune to fire.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's on a bunch of vines.
It's immune to fire. It's immune to acid.
Oh.
And you already know that it's resistant to bludgeoning. It's also resistant to piercing.
Oh, so you've got to slash it.
Got to slash. But I've got the Keen Warhammer now, so I got to...
And further, and I will tell you this, further knowledge checks will give you more information. There's plenty to know about...
more natural 20s?
This fella.
No, but you can, and you can continue to roll now that you succeeded, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regular success.
Yeah, but you have to get hit a higher DC.
Higher DC.
Which I cannot do now. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I crushed the DC. It doesn't mean I can't hit a higher DC. Sorry. I don't have to roll higher than I did last time. It's just that the DC goes up. Those are two different things.
Yeah, big turn there. I know you wanted to lay out some pain, but I think that was the way to go.
And yeah, now... no, I agree. And I also think it fits with his character really well, too, because there's also this idea of, like, you know, the other thing I think he would want to know that I sort of... it's metagaming a little bit, but I just was like, it's just not going to happen, is, like, you know, can this thing be allied with, right? Like, can you talk this thing into... thinking that you'll do its bidding just to save your own life, because Atticus would do that in a heartbeat if that was like something that he thought was feasible, but he's not sensing that just now. Last action is, oh, this is tricky where I'm with my particular action economy, so maybe I'll just, you know, so I got up there in a move, I recalled knowledge, and I will just attempt to aid Ethel. If Ethel attempts to attack the creature, essentially, by distracting the creature. Like, being invisible but not attacking it, but trying to distract it.
Gotcha.
Maybe like a deception check. Something like that. Like, just like make a weird sound or something and deceive it to try to give Ethel an opening.
Okay. It is Suki's turn. Hockey.
All right. That's a lot of information. Okay. Suki is going to dismiss her aerial form, Hockey. So I will move. Oh, thank you. Yeah, so Suki now stands up on that beam. And she is then going to look down at the chaos happening below her. And she looks at Eris, and she knows Eris is hurt. But she also knows that Eris is a badass and can handle herself at least a little longer. Hopefully.
What do you think, Kate?
Gee, thanks. So nice.
I have faith in you. Mean, that is such a classic BS argument that a healer makes to just not heal people.
Suki looks at Eris.
You're so tough. You're just so strong.
Gives her a big thumbs up and a wink, and then uses her other hand and casts haste on Ethel.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. All right.
So, knowing that he's the damage dealer, it gives us a little bit of time, and she's just giving you that thumbs up, Eris, and you think that Suki winking at you means she will heal you next round. Can't be sure.
Is this an actual question? Given that I can't move, so long as I'm grabbed, I'm probably not going to escape. Is it more beneficial to give that to, say, Aldo? Who can move, reposition, throw more bombs. All I can do is keep on hitting it, and with a fourth attack, I don't know that I'm going to have that many, you know.
That's fair. I just figured with the Keen, you know, maybe, but...
I don't know if Aldo's actions... Are your actions considered strikes, Aldo? You know, just by the book, it's kind of tricky.
Yeah, you get
And Ethel, the thing is like...
Isn't this a ranged strike?
Grabbed, it doesn't matter. In this situation, you're in melee with a creature who you're going to stay in melee with anyway. You have no penalty to hit. You know what I mean? You just wail away. It really doesn't.
My point was having a fourth attack with the map is not going to be that effective against this creature. I could roll a natural 19 or a natural 20, but
that is true. That is
Suki
true.
Suki free action. Suki yells. Who should I haste? Anyone?
Ethel, right?
I mean, unless you think Aldo. I mean, Skid, you do an attack, right? When you throw a bomb, it's an attack, right?
Yeah, it has the attack trait, but is it a strike?
A strike can be ranged.
A strike
you attack,
is attack
with a weapon you're wielding or with an unarmed attack targeting one creature within your reach for a melee attack or within range for a ranged attack.
Yeah.
Cool. Then I look at Ethel and I realize he looks really bad, like his essence is gone, and I give it to Aldo instead. I cast haste on Aldo, and I wink at Eris, and I'll heal you next round, hopefully, fingers crossed. And then Pepsi is going to bite this horrible...
I should have Pepsi roll a will save, too.
Yes, you should. You know what else you should do?
If he can climb a ladder, he can be afraid.
You know what else you should do? You jerk. How about attacking Pepsi once in a while? Can you just hit Pepsi?
All right, Pepsi. Will save. That's
worst
gonna
thing
be...
is if I kill Pepsi, like she just gets another free animal.
It's the best.
24. So what, have I frightened one?
Frightened two.
Frightened
two. That's fail, yeah.
All right.
Scared little snake.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just all shaking right. in your skin.
I'm scared, and then it'll go down at the end of my turn, so whatever. So I'm going to attack. I'm going to... Pepsi's going to try to bite one of these tentacles.
Okay. Now, you should know it's pretty far up, so... It's up on the ceiling.
Probably not, then. I mean, realistically. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, well, you could have him start making his way to the eaves.
Yeah.
Since he's so adept at ladder travel.
I keep forgetting it's, like, in the beams. All right, yeah, so instead Pepsi will start slithering up one of the beams. Mm-hmm.
You could make an argument that he could attack the tentacle that's grabbing Ethel. You know, it's a little, like, I guess the snake can stand up and...
Up to you.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay, so it's gonna he'll use his action to move and stride, and make it
up into the eaves, twisting around the eaves closer to the creature.
Okay.
Can I ask a technical question? Apologies, but Atticus goes up and immediately becomes frightened by this thing.
Yeah.
Does his frightened condition go down at the end of his turn, or does it have to wait around for a full turn of frightened before it goes down?
We talked about this with Eris. You succeeded, became frightened one. At the end of your turn, that frightened goes away.
So the same turn you walked in the room. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we're ruling it. I don't know if that's correct.
It's tricky.
We'll leave that to the professor. But to me, it makes sense. It's like those conditions tend to go down at the end of your turn. If it happened at the beginning of your turn, that's how I read it. It's not round-based, it's end of your turn.
And just to comment on, I think it's Dient or Dlent in chat, you can actually attack a limb being used to grapple by rules as written. Yeah, I don't think Troy's disagreeing with that. I think what you're saying is, like, even that limb is still out of reach of the snake.
If it climbs up Ethel's body and, maybe I just...
Yeah, yeah.
We're not saying
you can't attack just that limb as an attack against the creature. Just saying that, like, even that limb is out of reach, right?
I think if Pepsi had the... Because he can only do one action when I don't command him as a mature animal companion. So, like, if he had the movement and then could do it, maybe.
Yeah.
But he can only attack exactly where he's standing. So, yeah, I agree with you, Troy.
He needs to find somebody with a bow and arrow.
If only I had a bow and arrow.
If only I had a bow and arrow, you'd be all set. All right, it is Aldo's turn. Aldo, you're hastened. You got a nice view of this horrible thing. But you're a little scared.
I'm a little scared. I think... I'm going to throw a bottled lightning at it.
Yeah.
What is 36 to hit.
36 is
nice.
A hit.
Okay, awesome. Ooh, and that is 15 points of electricity damage.
15 points of electricity damage. Crackle through this horrible creature.
Great. And I think it's... Do we think it's vulnerable, or do you think it can be hurt by mental damage?
I was wondering that, too, because I've got some mental stuff, too, and I was like, I wonder if it doesn't have, like, a mind in the traditional sense. You know what I mean? It's weird.
Yeah. Mental and poison are the two things I'm wondering about.
Yeah, it's immune to acid. That doesn't have a direct connection to poison, but sometimes your brain connects them. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like you could poison it. It doesn't seem like it has a natural toxin that it emits or anything, you know?
Right. Okay. Well, I'll try it. I'll throw a...
You could also spend... When you're hasted, you could also spend an action to recall knowledge.
Yeah, actually, I'll do that.
Yeah.
I will do a... Can I do Arcana?
Yeah, absolutely.
Natural 20.
Holy shit! Dude.
Nice.
What? God. That is really, really big. Wow. A lot of 20s flying around here. Okay, so it is immune to poison.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Good to know.
And that is all of its immunities, acid, fire, and poison. I'll give you one more piece of information.
Mental
juicy
damage?
Weakness.
Mental?
Weak to mental.
It can take mental damage.
Okay.
It is not immune to mental.
All right. Then I will attempt to throw a dread ampule at it.
Awesome. swirling. A dread ampule at a Cthulian horror. This is just fantastic.
This is not gonna work. Yeah, it's a fumble.
Oh, no. One or just
no,
a...
it's a... Yeah.
All right, so it hits. It hits Ethel.
Okay.
And yeah, just misses twice.
Okay.
Does any splash go through?
No, because they're both fumbles, so...
Yeah, regular miss to get splashed, but fumbles, no splashy. All right, it is Ethel's turn.
Okay, let's do a double slice. Get the old hatchet and the warhammer.
Old hatchet okay. Warhammer.
Neither is a crit, but both are good rolls. So that will be a 39 on the warhammer and a 35 on the hatchet.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's two hits.
Nice. And you didn't roll a natty 19 on that warhammer.
No, it was a natural 18 on the
warhammer. Damn it!
Oh, ball sack.
All right, okay. Give me the warhammer damage first.
Oh, and it is off guard, too.
Oh, that might crit!
It's off guard for until my turn starts again.
Okay, and it's not a crit still.
39 wasn't a crit? Just checking. Okay, so for the warhammer, that's going to be... 21 points of bludgeoning and 2 nice. Points of cold.
21 points of bludgeoning and 2 points of cold. Okay.
And then let me give you the...
And the hatchet is slashing?
Hatchet is slashing.
Okay, so to your knowledge, all that's...
Boxcars.
Wow. So oh, that's on the slashing?
Yeah, it's on the slashing. 19 points of slashing from the hatchet.
Nice. 19 from... Wow, good rolls.
And good now rolls. I will flens.
Oh, yeah, you will. Yeah.
So it, you take 1d8 persistent bleed damage per weapon damage die of whatever weapons you use that has the most. Okay, so it's going to be 2d8 damage, 2d8 bleed.
All right, remember that on my end of my turn there.
Okay. That is, oh, this is huge. Wait,
there's more. It's now off guard. It was already off guard. And its resistances to any physical damage types are reduced by 5.
Oh,
wow. Holy shit, dude. That's huge.
Until the beginning of my next turn.
Wow.
You rolled a 19 on one of your things. Sorry, I'm half listening because I'm trying to figure out what to do with my character. Your previous crit, if you roll a 19 on one of your items.
Oh, no, I didn't. I rolled a natural 18.
He rolled an 18. He got a 39. With the creature off guard, his AC was still 30.
Damn.
So its AC was still 30. So that means its AC is a minimum of 32.
That's insane.
Okay, all right, so it's off guard, still off guard, and that'll be off guard until the end of your turn now?
Start.
Beginning of my next
turn. Beginning of my turn, all right, so it goes from beginning of Aldo's to beginning of yours now. It's bleeding 2d8, which it'll take on its turn, and also its resistances are all down by 5 until the beginning of your turn.
Just, holy. And just physical, so I imagine, like, it doesn't have mental resistance.
Bludgeoning and piercing.
Piercing,
would be a little bit better off.
All right, and you still got an action? Flens is an action, right?
Two actions for double slice, one action for the flens.
Oh, the flens is an action.
That's
okay.
Great, hey, dude. That's great.
Hell of a turn. You're doing the best you can. Still grabbed by this horrible thing. And
any chance you're going to let me go?
It is now Eris's turn.
All right, so with the spell she tried to cast last round... not working out, not materializing. She's gonna try to cast, well, not try, cast Organ Sight on the creature. So, like, in her mind, just kind of like vivisects in front of her, and she's trying to find like a vital organ on whatever this is, if she can.
Oh my God.
So, I need to roll a medicine check. Because I cast this, I get a +2 circumstance bonus on it. And.
So it's a special recall knowledge check using medicine to discern a vital organ. You may not want to look in here.
She's looking. She's looking into the void and hoping it doesn't look back. All right, so do you have the DC? I'll roll the medicine check.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Oh, come on. Oh. Math.
33 is a success.
Nice. All right. So she's
huge.
Not sure what she's looking at, but she thinks she might see
something that looks somewhat vital. So she's holding on to that nugget of information for her next turn.
Yes.
And with her final action, since that was two, she's going to command Egg, which she never usually does, because Egg can't really do much. But she's going to command Egg and just be like, help me, help, help me. And Egg hops out and is like on the ground.
Okay.
And uses two actions to do, what is it called? What is it called? The restorative familiar action. So once a day, Egg can use two actions with the concentrate trait to give up some of its animating energy to heal me. And it must be in my space to do so. So I restore a number of hit points equal to 1d8 times half of my level. So 1d8 says times? That's it. Yes, 1d8 times half my level. So that's 1d8 times 5.
Wow.
That was more than I thought when I first read it. I was like, wait a second.
Wait, wow.
Yeah.
All right, there's Egg.
All right, 1d8. Oh, my God.
Checking chat to see if we're doing this wrong.
Do you roll a 1?
I roll a 1.
Oh, fuck this dice.
Could have killed myself. 8 points of healing. Sweet.
All right, you were able to find some sort of vital organ. I mean, it's not. It doesn't have organs like regular animals, but you see a weak spot, and then you let Egg come out, and Egg heals you for a little bit.
Yep, a little bit. Egg's never done this before, so it's their first time. Not sure what they're doing. Didn't go so well.
Didn't go so well. All right. Are you done?
Yes, that's all I have.
All right. Top of the next round. It is the Dark Young of Shub-Niggurath. And,
Is that the actual creature name in the book? The Dark Young of Shub-Niggurath?
I believe so.
That is an amazing name for a boss.
That's a good name.
Dark Young of Shub-Niggurath. Okay, so I think I'm going to do something here. I don't know if it's really going to help, though.
Please don't take out Pepsi. Just do not take out Pepsi.
Yeah, whatever or I egg. Do, don't take out Pepsi.
Don't murder Egg.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to... It like wriggles up there and the room starts to shake, and suddenly all of the vines that are coming in from the windows growing on the floor, they start to like come to life on the ground, and all of the flora begins to entangle everyone that is on the ground. So that would be Atticus, Ethel, Eris, and Pepsi.
And Egg.
No, Pepsi's on the ground.
Not Pepsi. Yeah.
Am I on the ground?
Yes, you're not being pulled up. You're still on the ground. So this is the spell in the remaster. It's called Entangling Flora. Plants and fungi burst out or quickly grow entangling creatures. All surfaces in the area are difficult terrain. Each round that a creature starts its turn in the area, it must attempt a reflex save. So just remember that for those four people. On a failure, it will take a minus. You'll take a minus 10 foot circumstance penalty to your speeds until you leave the area. And on a critical failure, it can immobilize you for one round. You can attempt to escape to remove either of those effects should you fail the reflex save. So
no effect on me. I'm already mobilized.
No effect on you, but should you get out now, you're hampered by this room. So
yeah, and it's maybe could hold us here for something horrible. Interesting.
Yeah, so Entangling Flora, the flora comes to life. What was it called in the Legacy version? Was it just Entangle? Now it's Entangling Flora. You're grabbed by all of this, and just remember to roll that reflex on your turn. And then I have one action left, and it's going to be a big fucking tentacle. Atticus, are you visible now?
No.
You're still invisible. You have because you haven't attacked. All right, so this is just Eris, Ethel, Suki, or Aldo.
Oh, shit. We never used my guidance against your hit, Ethel, and we could have crit.
We could have crit.
Damn it.
Wait, what was it? A plus one or a plus two?
It was aid. He was going to aid me.
I was going to aid.
I think even if with a plus
Well, plus one would not have crit?
Would not have crit, yeah. So okay. Don't beat yourself up. Okay. All right, so this one is coming at Suki. All right, so this
is... That means
is,
a minimum of 33 AC. Jeez.
This is a tentacle attack on Suki. That is going to be a 28 to hit.
That hits.
All right, that was a very bad roll.
Yeah, I bet
which
it
is,
was.
I crit on the other one, so...
Yeah, but you must have, like, just hit, right? Yeah. Like, just hit.
And it's still going to be... 29 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh, boy. Wow. Yes.
Are you resistant to bludgeoning by any chance, like it is?
Let me check. No.
Let me check. No.
I'm a woman wearing a white robe. Yeah, this tentacle just comes out and smashes Suki off the beam into the wall, and then she lands back on the beam and has the wind knocked out of her.
Oh. All right. That is its turn. It's Atticus's turn, and I'm getting a fresh beer.
My poor daughter. We're playing softball, and she's just getting into softball, just starting, and we're having a catch. And I bought her, because they recommended it, a face mask. All the girls wear face masks these days. And I'm like, this is just fantastic, because like you have no worry about when you're throwing them the ball about a softball hitting them in the face, because she's only 7. Where's she going to put that glove, et cetera, et cetera? Well, I threw the ball. She missed it. A glove a little bit too high, it hit her right there.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't wing it. It was a really light throw, but it just hit her right in the right spot to knock the wind out of her.
Oh,
and she just
solar plexus.
Freaked out. She was like, huh! And she dropped to in her knees and was like, and just got the tears just started streaming down her face. It was so sad. And
so
I was like,
scary.
Please don't never want to play softball again just because of that. I promise you, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It had to hit the perfect target to knock the wind out of you, like right in that spot, you mm-hmm. know. Ugh.
It is scary.
Terrible feeling.
Yeah, yeah, the first time
terrible,
that happens.
Terrible.
Oh,
especially
very,
when you
very
don't
terrible
know it can happen.
Yeah,
and you just think you just can't breathe.
Yeah, this is it. It's over
ball
for me.
Or kickball kicked into your stomach, and you're just like,
yeah. Okay.
This round is sponsored by the official beer of the summer of the Glass Cannon Network every summer.
And what's that?
Narragansett del Shandoni.
There he is.
It's Shandoni season.
Shandoni summer.
Love it. Troy. So I got to show you my beer of the evening. I went to the beer store earlier today. I was like, got to get something special for the sure. John Jamsky tonight. They had a 4-pack. Only one 4-pack. Never seen it in my store before.
Graffiti Highway.
The Heady Topper,
bro. Heady Topper.
Heady Topper.
Heady Topper from Vermont, bro.
Yeah, they're starting to distribute a little bit more loosely.
Yeah, it's a little bit more available. I know I've heard this, but one 4-pack, that was all that was there.
Straight from the can, man.
It was fantastic.
Sound off in the chat. What's everybody drinking and eating? You know I love snacks, and you know I love drinks. What are you guys sipping on tonight?
I kind of need a snack.
Seriously, Cindy, I can't believe you've made it like an hour and 40 minutes and haven't eaten anything.
I have been.
On stream.
You have been. I absolutely have been.
She was eating like chicken wings when we were like getting on before being live, like
slightly
like
Joe
wait, said, were they left over from yesterday?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
27
we had a meeting yesterday and Cindy was eating wings through the meeting yesterday.
What? I can't be stopped. I cannot stop. I have a problem.
Well yeah, I guess if you call streaming a meeting. Anyway, all right, let's
all right, O'Brien, what do you got?
Let's dance.
Trash.
The very same amulet which allows Atticus to see through this creature. Just sort of infuses him with this dark, purplish power, which, yeah, I'm just going to say that the way that this force emanates out of him, this barrage is like, it is eldritch force is exploding out of him as 9 magic missiles shoot forth from him. And just shoot, go into this creature so that I don't have to worry about hitting that fucking AC. So I will spend my level 5 heightened force barrage
nice.
In the remaster okay. for 9 magic missiles, essentially.
Missiles. Okay.
Okay, so.
Give me that sweet damage.
Not too shabaroo. That is 35. 35 wow. points nice. Of force damage just done. And he... And each one has, yeah, this dark. They're not these bright lights of force. They're this these dark void blasts that are emanating forth from him. He's going to fight the void with the void. Yes, Skid. Yeah. Yes. Oh, I'm not fast enough. I wanted to zoom up on your screen. So that's his turn. That's three actions.
And now
I am visible.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So boom. Lights him up with some force barrage. Suki, you just took a big tentacle up the head. What do you got?
All right, Suki, I have to heal Eris because I gave her a thumbs up and a
you
wink.
You gave me the
Ethel.
Wink.
I know. Ethel.
What?
Don't forget Ethel.
I know about Ethel.
Suki, is there something in your eye? Please get it out before you try to do something next turn.
I thumbs up and I winked at Eris. I have to heal Eris. All right, I'm gonna heal Eris. She took a really big hit.
Yeah, Joe.
What?
Well, because he was trying to convince you to heal.
That's too bad. Joe can play his own character.
Yeah.
Wow.
You are gonna.
I just tried to give a pitch for my friend Matthew. That's all.
You are going to get back.
In most cases, Sydney, I'd be on your side, but in this case, really?
Okay,
really?
How,
now I know who my friends are.
Free action. Wow. Free action. Suki yells fight. Out.
Spits up blood.
Who needs healing? Who needs the healing the most? I only have one. Well, I've got two big spells, but I could only do so many things. Who needs healing?
While you're figuring that out, I forgot I take my 2d8 bleed, and then I'll roll a flat check to try and stop the bleeding.
Oh, my God. I was like, there's no chance I forget that, and I completely forgot.
I failed the flat check, so I remained bleeding. Matthew, give me the 2d8.
14 points of bleed.
Holy shit.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Ethel, how far are you down?
I'm down about 50 points. No, I'm down 44. I'm down exactly 44.
But Eris, didn't Eris get hit for 50-something?
56.
I did, and then I healed 8.
All right, help Eris.
I have to help Eris. I'm making my decision. You get back 51. I'm using a fourth level heal.
Wow.
That's all of it.
I reach out both my hands and just beautiful blue light heals Eris, and then I'm going to command Pepsi as my one remaining action. And Pepsi is going to chomp now that he is up on the beam.
Okay.
So Pepsi is going to chomp. That's going to be, 26?
No, that's a miss.
Okay, chomp again, just to see, for shits and gigs.
Sure.
Nat 20!
Oh, yeah! Natural!
For shits and gigs is right!
Way!
I am shitting and gigging.
That's the shit and gigs you're freaking talking about.
Wow.
That's a, 31.
Dumb snake. All right, so a 31 wouldn't be a hit, so it is actually not.
It is not a crit, it is a hit.
It is just a hit. So regular damage, no fan crit.
Of my life.
Damn it, that would have been really cool if it was a crit.
I don't even get exploding dice or anything.
You know what? Because it's off guard, that is a crit.
Yeah, there you go.
Give me the crit, Joe. Give me a crit.
Give me your named crit.
From anywhere on the planet.
This dub snake.
A named crit from somebody on this planet?
Anywhere where snakes exist.
Anywhere where snakes exist. All right, let's
go. No crits from Ireland.
okay. This one from Lee in Charlotte, North Carolina. This one is called Show 'em How It's Done.
Yeah.
Your display of textbook form and precision inspires your allies. Double damage. All allies within 30 feet who have line of sight to you have their critical ranges increased for all attacks by one for 1d4 rounds.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
What does critical range mean? It means that
it means that like you crit on a natural 19.
Okay.
And a natural 20.
So for Ethel, it would now go to 18.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, now go to 18 for like one more round or something.
Roll my God. Awesome. This makes sense. Pepsi is inspiring. Pepsi hit for once. Inspiring every ally.
The fact that Pepsi hit this fucking thing.
This makes a ton of sense. You're right.
You take.
We're all like, wow, that snake is amazing.
Still have your resistances reduced right now, right?
Yeah, resistance or half because it's piercing damage for the snake?
Yeah, piercing damage. So 34 piercing damage.
Wow. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Doubles.
That does not sound like an animal that gets shot on an arrow. 34 points of damage on a single bite?
Pepsi was a baby back then, and Pepsi's grown up.
Wow, 34 points of damage. Its resistances are halved, so you know, it's 29 points of damage. I had piercing 10. Wow. So 29 points of damage, and now roll a now roll a d4.
Oh, wait, why?
How many
for how many rounds everybody's
round?
Keen oh, for every oh, oh. attack?
Three.
Three.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right, so that's huge.
So basically for the rest of the night.
Let's go!
So now Ethel's going to be a crit on an 18 to 20, and the rest of you will crit on 19.
Only on the Warhammer. Only on the Warhammer.
Only on the Warhammer.
If you roll a spell attack roll for our spellcasters.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. Amazing. And it is now Aldo's turn. So am I... I'm still off guard till the beginning of Ethel's turn.
Now,
yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then I am no longer frightened. I am going to throw another bottle of lightning.
Okay.
Natural 20.
Oh my god!
I was saying, if we go this way,
was
if we roll like this, no this one, is our only chance.
If this was live in like a venue, it would be pandemonium.
Yeah, insane. This would be insane. Troy, you made a huge mistake not having this happen.
I know. This is like in Kansas City.
It's crazy. Yeah.
This you know what? I'm going to Kansas City for this ranch.
If I were upset.
We'll redo it in Kansas City.
We'll just run it back.
Do the exact same stuff, pretending we never did it. Like other podcasts.
Okay.
Can't believe these crits.
All right, this one from Tom in Atlanta, Georgia.
What up, Tom?
By the way, you know Tom. That's PJ Love Sauce.
PJ Love Sauce.
PJ Love Sauce.
What's up, Tom? Tom in Atlanta. Right in the ... You fill it in with your imagination.
Penis.
Double damage. And your target must make a fortitude save.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm sure you're going to make it. But, hold on. But the DC of the fortitude save is going to... Well, it'll be your class DC, Aldo. So, you know, whatever that is. 30.
I rolled a 38, so I'm okay on the fortitude, as you assume. But double
yes,
damage.
Yes, and there is no benefit to the if you succeed. So, right. Just double damage.
Just double.
But if you failed, this would be huge. Slowed one.
That would have been
great.
If it would have failed.
But there's no chance it would have failed. But.
Almost no chance.
That is 20 points of damage.
20 points of damage. Okay. Couple things. Going back to Atticus's turn. Atticus, I forgot to have you roll the reflex save to see if you would be entangled
if I fumble something, immobilized.
Happens. So if you fumble immobilized, I don't think you would have been able to get those magic missiles off if you're immobilized.
Yeah, it's not
immobilized does not affect your ability to attack.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't affect somatic components.
The main thing you have to point out is if this spell gives you the grabbed condition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you just can't do anything with the move trait. It doesn't affect. Yeah. Okay, so it doesn't really matter. You didn't move, so don't even worry about it.
Okay.
All right, and Skid, you said how many points of damage? 20?
20 points of damage, and it will be flat-footed now until the start of my next turn again.
Okay, and
off guard.
That 20 points of damage, that's what kind of damage is
electricity.
That? Electricity, okay. Yeah. Great, first attack, 20 points of damage.
Beautiful.
Good start. Great, I'm going to throw a follow-up with another Dread Ampule, moderate. Natural 20, again.
Stop it! You guys!
Holy three shit! Natural 20s.
Hold on, Skip, put that up there,
Same die?
Three nat 20s.
There it is. It's proof.
Oh my god!
The die has a 20.
That's unbelievable. I mean, even Skid seems a little sad. He's like, "I'm sorry, Troy. You're my friend." Hold on a second. Is this
holy shit?
Would that result in a hit? That natural 20 with the map. That's the only thing we got to figure out.
That would be a 34 against its off guard AC.
Yeah, it's a crit.
Holy shit! So we're pulling another one.
I mean, you guys are inspired. Pepsi
has
inspired you.
Okay, your projectile was guided by the gods, this one from Brandon in Macon, Georgia.
Macon.
I've never heard of it. M-A-C-O-N?
Macon.
Does everybody know Macon?
It's Macon. Macon.
Like, yeah.
I have never heard of that city.
Macon like bacon.
Wow. Sydney, you know this city in Georgia?
Never heard of Macon, but I would love to go there. Sounds great.
All right,
you guys have never heard of Macon, Georgia?
I've never heard the term Macon, Georgia in my life.
You two are the only ones.
Macon like bacon. Joe, that's crazy.
Macon, Georgia.
Arrow of light. Your projectile was guided by the gods or touched by the heavens as it strikes your target's armor before entering them, causing a great flash of light. Oh, fuck. Are you going to get screwed here? Doom. Normal damage, sadly. But. Oh. Oh! Okay, so it's normal damage, but the target is blinded for 1d3 rounds.
Oh.
It explodes in a burst of light.
Oh, that's awesome. That's perfect.
So it's normal damage, but you are blinded, no save. And then it says every enemy within a 15-foot radius must roll a will save to see if any of them become blinded. But there's no other enemies.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, cool. It's just straight up, boom, it explodes in a flash of light. Imbued by the gods, apparently. Nice, Brandon.
Awesome.
From Macon, Georgia.
All right, sweet. Give me
the heart of Georgia.
Give me the regular damage.
14 points of damage.
Okay. And I'm off guard. I'm still bleeding. You have one more action. However, at that moment, you crit on the first bomb. You crit on the second bomb. At that moment, it starts to shake and quiver, and you guys hear crack, 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 splint, 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 splint. And the entire ceiling comes crashing to the floor. Couple things are going to happen. First thing that's going to happen is Suki, Aldo, and Pepsi all take 5 points of damage from the 10-foot fall. And now everyone roll a reflex save as boards and bodies are flying down everywhere, and you're all in this entangling flora.
Do I even get that? Because I am immobilized from being grabbed by it.
Do you even get
reflex save?
I don't see why not. Like, you can reflex save can also mean you just put your hands over your head, you block if it's damage related. All right.
And also probably grabbed. You're not immobilized. You're just grabbed.
Grab gives you the immobilized trick.
Okay, then that's probably affecting your reflex save. No,
that was a good point. Let me look. No, it does not. No.
Yeah, I mean, it's
reflex does not always require movement. Sometimes it's just dodging your head one way or another. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, pieces, bits, and shit are falling down from the ceiling. All right, it's DC 15.
Oh,
did anybody who failed or critically failed or who succeeded?
I critically succeeded.
Oh, I critically succeeded. I actually have to roll for egg.
Yes,
and regular egg also critically succeeded. What was the DC?
15?
Critically succeeded.
Oh, no. Critical success. Critical success.
All right, Ethel, Egg, and Eris, critically succeed. Joe, Atticus, critical. Suki?
I rolled a 1, but I succeeded with the amount roll. Like, wait.
Yeah, so then you're just a fail. It's not
a
critical fail.
So it's a regular fail.
Yeah.
Oh, because you rolled a 1, but with the bonus, it would have been a success.
Yeah, a plus 16.
All right, so it's a regular success. All right, so you're going to take 9 points of damage from this debris.
Well, it's a regular fail, what you got.
Yeah, and then Aldo?
I got 37.
37, so you guys don't take any damage except Suki. However, Pepsi, Aldo, and Suki are also prone.
Oh, okay. And Pepsi critically succeeded, just so we know.
Great. Aldo, Pepsi, and Suki take damage, 5 points of damage from the fall, and then Suki takes extra damage from the debris. The rest of you don't take any damage from the debris, but Aldo, Suki, and Pepsi are prone. And then, Aldo, you have one more action.
Holy shit. What
two
a
more.
Round. Two more. Yeah.
Two more, because you're hasted.
If he wants to stride or strike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll stand up.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And then throw a third bomb.
Third bomb, a bomb, a bomb.
That's
bomb.
Amazing.
Natural 1.
Oh.
Okay.
Well,
the dice gods said, "All right, that's enough."
All right, that's enough.
That's enough out of you.
Okay. Doop 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 doop. All right, this one from M in Sorry. We used this a little too early. In Austin, Texas. We're about to head to Austin.
Oh,
M. What's up, M? This one is appropriately titled for you, Skid. Winning time. Oh, my God, it actually is. Winning time. Deal half damage to yourself unless if you can name a professional sports player who wore a jersey number equal to the damage. Take no damage.
Oh, wow.
All right, so what's half damage?
So what's half damage? So roll damage. What's half damage? And what do we give him? 5 seconds.
Of course Skid gets this.
Yeah.
This is so funny.
12.
So that's half damage?
No. I mean, that half would be 6.
All right, okay. So 6. All right, you got 10 seconds.
Name an athlete.
Walter Davis, University of North Carolina.
Wow. Amazing.
Number 6, yep, Walter Davis.
Troy double-checked you. I love it.
Amazing. All right, so you don't take any damage? Is that what it was?
Yeah, unless you name that sports player. Yeah, so amazing. No damage. You're fine. Right.
Awesome. Nice, kid.
That's just fun.
And now, how many rounds am I blinded? It's how many
D3? We had to roll a 1D3.
All right, so
it was 3.
You rolled.
No, Sydney rolled it. I remember. You made Sydney.
No, it's Skid.
That was different.
It's Skid.
It was Skid. Oh, we never actually rolled
it. Yeah,
Skid.
So give me a
Sydney's Pepsi's Keen for all of us was.
Fair.
One round.
I have dice tracking.
One round.
All right, so I'm going to have to roll flat checks to hit you.
Everybody's going to be essentially hidden to you, is what it is right now.
That DC 10 or excuse me, is that DC 10 or 5?
DC 11.
Excuse me, yeah, 11. DC 11 flat check, right, unless I use perception. Use an action to try and figure out where you are. Okay, wow. Guys are pulling this off, but the ceiling has caved in, and you actually see a treasure chest has fallen to the ground that was sitting in the eaves. Just like boom, boom.
I saw it. It's on
hit
the map.
The ground. It's on the map. You can see it there in the eaves. As the beams have fallen, that chest
has
fallen.
Wait, you can see it in
floor.
The eaves?
Yeah.
Oh, right there. I never noticed it.
Oh.
Oh, oh wow.
It was camouflaged amongst the eaves.
Shout out to Davy Maps throwing a little chest.
Is this Davy Maps?
Davy Maps.
Wow. Fucking Davy Maps, dude.
Yeah. You guys got to use Davy Maps for your home games, for real.
Ethel, you are up. You are still grabbed by this guy, but it has not slowed down your offense.
No. Okay.
And your Warhammer now crits on an 18.
Yeah, for only the Warhammer. 19 on the hatchet. But I'm going to do a double slice. I'm just going to keep hacking at it.
Might as well.
It's like, you know, this thing's got me wrapped in a tentacle, and Ethel's just kind of like slamming both weapons down at the tentacle, like over and over and over in attempts to hurt it.
I love it.
Okay. Oh my god. I rolled 2 natural 2s.
Oh! At least they're not 1s.
Alright.
Good call not healing Ethel.
Yeah.
That's going to be a 24 and a 22.
Okay. Miss,
so,
miss.
Both miss. Yeah. And then I'll just, for the heck of it, I'm going to roll one more attack. Okay, with the map, that'll be a 25, so even.
Miss. Keep in mind that entangling floor is still going for everyone. It really is only going to affect you if you try to move, but you could be immobilized, which would affect anything with the move trait, like, you know, just. If it affects you, we should just have you roll the reflex save to see.
Yeah.
But for you, it doesn't really matter. All right, so that's Ethel, and then we finish the round out with Eris. Eris, you've seen a vital spot on this thing. You brought your old buddy Egg out, and then the ceiling collapsed.
Have we talked about your amazing neck mouth?
Ooh.
Wearing the neck mouth tonight.
Yeah,
this was made by Charlotte. Living Bread Girl on Instagram gave it to me in LA. It's like real shark teeth.
So
it's really well made.
It's real shark teeth.
Yeah.
You ever just real rock leather. That on the weekends out of the club?
Oh.
If somebody gave Kate some hacky shit, she would never wear it on air. Like, oh, yeah. It would have to be.
It's got to be quality if you want
Kate
to wear it.
Kate is like fine taste.
You guys said
fine
that,
taste.
Not me. All right, so. I see what looks like an organ or something that will hurt it if I hit it. So is there anything in the room? You said it doesn't take a penalty, or it's not like immune in any way to slashing damage.
Right. Should be good for slashing.
Is there anything like in the room that I can chuck at it that does slashing damage, like a thorn from one of the vines or something?
Oh, I mean, just be careful if you're talking about... are you talking about telekinetic projectile?
Yes.
I feel like, yeah, it's bludgeoning. It's just always bludgeoning.
No.
So I had the same thought.
Oh,
I was
no. It says if you hit, you deal 6d6 bludgeoning, piercing, or slashing damage.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. It says range damage 66b. That's all it says. And then in the description, you're right. It says bludgeoning, piercing, or slashing.
I specifically took Organ Sight to work with this.
Yeah, I was just looking at the summary, and it only says bludgeoning in the summary. So I was like, I can't use this.
Worst summary ever.
Amazing.
just before I forget, just for shits and give me a reflex save for all this entangling flora. Let's see if it affects you at all. I don't think it's going to make a big difference.
Even if I'm not moving?
Yeah, because you could be immobilized, which would affect things with the move trait, which, again, you may not use, but...
Reflex save, that's a 26.
26, all right, so that's a fail, but you're just, if you decide to move, you have a minus 10 to your speed.
I didn't plan on moving this round.
All right, there's plenty of stuff you could use to slash. It's like nails that have come down from the beams you could suck out of the wood. And
shards of the
send
beam.
Them over there. Yeah, shards of the beam.
Beam shards.
The splinter from the beam, I see it.
Totally.
And I reach out and I just try to magically fling it in a slashing motion at this creature, at that organ.
It's off guard and you crit on a 19.
Come on.
And it's blind.
Yeah.
It's a 23. Oh, I have a bottle cap. Fuck it, I'm using it.
Wow, so I love it.
We'll re-roll it.
Bold. So bold.
All right, that's better. 9, 10, 11. That's a 31 to hit.
It's off guard to everyone, right, Skid?
Yes.
And that is a hit.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. All right, so that means I deal 66, but then also with my organ sight, I deal an extra 4d6 precision damage.
Yes.
Oh, so let's roll the 66 first.
Holy shit. Yes. Oh, man. So 10d6.
So that's 21 initially, and then the extra, so 21 slashing. And then 11 precision.
Holy shit. Wow. What a great.
Yes. Great.
Nice job, Eris.
Your damage was exactly what you hit with. It was 32. You rolled a 32 to hit, and you did 32 damage.
Sydney's
angel numbers.
Math.
Angel
nice,
numbers.
Nice, sure. Clean. That's a beautiful mind shit right there, Sydney.
Yeah.
Damn. That's me doing math.
That's crazy. How can you do math for me?
Do you guys see this?
You can't add 6 + 4, but you can just throw out.
Can you bring up the map real quick? I want to see if it says it for you guys that Suki and Egg are on top of each other. Just says suck egg.
Suck egg. That's what she's saying to this creature.
Sucks eggs. The cannon that landed on egg with my mouth open. Suki's just like.
Awesome. Obviously, technically, that can't happen, but, you know, we're in a weird situation. Is egg technically small by the book?
They are small. How small?
Just literally small is like a definition of size.
They
in the
are
game.
Tiny.
They're oh, tiny, they're tiny, so they can share a space.
They can share that space. That's awesome.
They're sharing my space right now.
Basically, because of the room, if not, like, Aldo would shift over and everyone else would shift. Like, you get pushed to the nearest thing.
Yeah, but we could... I could share a square with it because of my, like, rat folk ancestral ability. I can share a square with it, but it can't be a medium size, just smaller than that. But awesome.
All right, so that was two actions. It's always so great when that works, the organ sight and telekinetic.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good setup.
With my last action, I want to use a focus spell to cast Needle of Vengeance on the big baddie.
Word.
And when I cast this, I say Ethel's name. I go, stop trying to suck on his face, gross thing. And basically, you make a will save, so maybe this won't even work. So make a basic will save.
All right, so high risk, high reward. I will roll a will save, and I got a 33.
Regular success.
Larry Bird.
And I think that only affects the damage, because basically if you make any... a needle jabs into your psyche whenever you try to attack Ethel... you take 10 mental damage anytime.
Yeah, so you don't roll the save now. You roll the save when you attack. If you attack Ethel, and it's a basic save. So if you succeed, you would take 5 damage. If you fail, you'd take 10. If you critically fail, you'd take 20, etc.
And this lasts for 1 minute.
Okay. All right, so keep that in mind when it comes back around to you. Is the top of the next round, and it is the Dark Young's turn. Now, casting spells while blinded, like targeted spells while blinded. I'm trying to, like, figured this out. There's no flat check for that. You just can't do it because you don't have...
because you don't have line of sight.
You don't have line of sight, right.
So you'd have to go AOE or...
You can't detect anything using vision, and since you need to target a spell with vision, you can't cast it.
Yeah, I mean, unless this creature has a precise sense outside of sight, right? Like if it...
Right.
If it has a magical sense that is not sight and is precise... Ooh.
Does, but I don't know if this particular one will make
like,
a difference.
Is it like tremor sense?
It
or
is
something
tremor
like that?
Sense. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if tremor sense.
Is it a precise sense?
It's you gain.
I think tremor sense is an imprecise sense.
I think it is too. Yeah. I'm trying to game the system as well. Tremor sense allows a creature to feel the vibrations through a solid. It's usually an imprecise sense with a limited range. Tremor sense functions only if the detecting creature is on the same surface as the subject, which you all are, and only if the subject is moving along or burrowing through the surface. Blinded is you can't detect anything using vision. You automatically fail perception checks, and if vision is your only precise sense, you take a -4 penalty to perception checks. Yeah, I mean...
Hold on a second. Was this thing tied up in the rafters, and then it all collapsed, and it's now on the floor? Like, it fell too?
Yeah, it fell too.
Okay, so it's like scrambling around on the ground right next to us. Okay.
Yeah, well, it... yeah, it basically, like, it has freedom of movement, so it can just fucking... It's not hampered by anything in here.
Yeah.
It had basically become the room.
Yeah.
And in my mind, with the tremor sense, like all these vines and everything that it's been living in, it can feel every single bump. So here's how I'm going to rule it. I'm going to rule it that my flat checks go down to a DC 6 instead of a DC 11 because of tremor sense. But I still don't think I can cast spells without being able to... physically, like...
You mean DC 5 instead of DC 11?
Yeah, excuse me, DC 5
so
instead of 11.
The creatures are concealed to you rather than hidden.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm going to rule.
But that would only be for hitting with tentacles, right?
Right.
But
I just don't... I mean, I want to be able to cast a spell with using Tremor Sense, but I just don't think I can. I think I need to be able... to see you, even though this fucking thing doesn't even
I agree.
Have eyes.
I think you should have to see us, too. I think that, you know, if you had an AoE... fire it off,
yeah.
You know, but like even like a line spell be fine, mm-hmm. But you know, if it's targeting a creature, I think by the book you have to have line of sight or a precise sense that isn't sight.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's how I'm gonna do it.
Aldo, this is because of your natural 20.
Yeah, your natural 20 has completely changed sort of its end game here as it comes down to the floor. So here's what it's gonna do. It has three actions. It's still holding Eris. So I am going to...
Sorry, I'll just say real quick, the Ed Robinson in chat, I went to chat to check, says it would say Tremor Sense precise if it's precise. It would say it in this creature stat block in parentheses next to Tremor Sense. It would say Tremor Sense precise.
Gotcha. Well, this was like made by a friend, so it's it's not as like... by the book, you know what I mean?
Well, the creature was made up. Like, I'm sorry, the creature was crafted. Like, it's not in any 2E.
I don't think it's been up. I don't think it exists for 2E yet. I could be wrong. Oh, I know there's
dude,
a
just
1E.
Make it precise.
I know there's a 1E. Yeah, there's
what is
a 1E
wrong
version.
With you? Just stop
Shut
talking.
Up. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the. I wish I had like all around vision. I mean. To me, I think I'm being generous by giving it the DC 5 because it can feel
Very
everything
generous.
In this room, and you guys are right
because
next
tremor
to it.
Sense really only applies when we move, and nobody has moved.
Mm. No, but like that whole all these vines and stuff that are moving that it's controlling, they're like coming out of its mind. Anyways, I'm going
to
leave the
basically.
DC 5.
There's no way to say that it doesn't have a more advantage on that attack than you or I if we were.
There's
blind.
Only one square
you know
in
mean?
The
it
room.
Has have some better advantage.
There's only one square in the room that doesn't have an enemy. That doesn't have an enemy to it, like the one between Atticus and Aldo.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to see who it's going to come after here. It's still holding Ethel. But I wanna lay the smack down. Aldo is standing, Suki is laying down, Pepsi is laying down. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here we go. I rolled a 6. I will re-roll 6. Eris.
No.
She got healed. We're good.
She got healed. True. All right, so here's what happens. First, the tentacle comes at you.
Okay.
I wish I was shitting you. Natural 20.
Oh, my God.
Natural 20 on this beautiful die that I got from a fan forever ago. This thing only rolls 19s and 20s. Natural 20. There's the most natural 20s in this episode.
That's your flat check.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. Oh my God.
You're right.
Matthew!
You're right.
No, it's not okay. Not me. It's the chat lit up with flat check.
That's
flat
amazing.
Check,
that's so true. I can't. There's nothing I can do.
Holy.
Two bottle caps.
Wow.
That's amazing. Matthew, if that was you, I was going to give you a bottle cap.
It's not me. I just saw it in the chat.
Let me still crit on a fucking 18.
I think I passed away.
Oh my God.
Holy shit. That's amazing. Okay. All right. I'm probably still going to crit here. It is a 45.
Yeah, dude. 26 AC.
I just don't get a fan crit. All right. Here we go. First, we're going to do the damage, which is going to be horrific. That's so funny.
Yeah. Kenny Chan says amazing that he nat 20s the flat check on Kate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
needle
yeah.
of vengeance.
Needle of vengeance.
All right. So you're going to take 56 bludgeoning damage.
All right. I've never been happier.
That's right. Amazing.
56 bludgeoning damage. Second action, it's going to grab you. Okay. Third action, it's going to constrict you.
Oh,
so
shit.
So give me a save on the constrict is fortitude save.
So I'm grabbed. Okay, add that. Fortitude save. That's a 28.
That's a fail. So you'll take regular damage, which is going to be, you're going to take another 20 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh, man.
So that's over 70 points of damage.
Yeah, it is.
And you're still up. Yes?
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right, so this thing has Eris grabbed and is squeezing the life out of it. And you see, out of this blob in its body, another mouth unfolding and making its way towards Eris. It's
and since Eris is so happy, she's like, if this wasn't killing me, it would be hot.
This is right up Eris's alley. Okay. God, I got so many tabs here. It is Atticus's turn. Atticus, let's start with the reflex save just for posterity's sake.
The reflex save, you say? Mm-hmm. 34.
Okay, you're fine.
Okay, so he's fine. And I am so tortured whether to put the die in your hand or in mine. God. Okay.
Oh, wait. I take bleed damage, and I got to roll the flat check.
You do not take bleed damage. The effect from the cleansing strike ends. Both effects, both the reductions to your resistances and the bleed ends at the beginning of my turn. So
gotcha.
No.
All right, so it's just off guard until the beginning of Aldo's turn. Very interesting.
I'm going to go apeshit here for a second.
Okay, it's about time.
Angling just to the back of the room, keeping, of course, my friend Eris out of the worst parts of it. Atticus is going to cast a howling blizzard cone of cold into the creature.
Nice.
Full cone of cold, and I'm going to hope and pray that your worst save is your reflex save.
Okay.
So go ahead and give me a reflex save.
Big old creature. Reflex save.
I'm sick.
Here we go. Let me look at my reflex rate. It's pretty good. Okay. It's a very good roll.
Shit.
It's just a matter of whether it's going to be a critical success or a regular success. 34.
34 is a regular success.
Okay. A little bit of damn zony.
Bummer.
It's getting cold in here.
It's getting cold in here.
I'll tell you what you just told me is that your reflex save is your lowest save. You just gave that away.
Did I?
Because, well, yeah. You said that was a very good roll, and you barely passed. So, like, that wasn't even close to a critical success. So, if you would have failed, amazing. But you succeeded, so that's going to be 14 points of cold damage.
Is that all you got?
Well, it's a shitty damage roll. I got 1 6 out of 10 D6s and no fives. So that was pretty bad. But you take 14 points of cold.
Okay.
And then I'm going to enact an ability I have not yet enacted, I don't believe. I don't think so. At 10th level, I'm going to enact a new feat that I got at this level, Quickened Casting.
Mm.
If the next action is to cast a wizard spell at least 2 ranks lower than your maximum spell rank, reduce the actions to cast it by 1.
Oh.
Whoa.
With my last action, I'm going to cast a 1 action lightning bolt through the middle of you.
Awesome.
So, cone of cold, and then he pulls back in, and then dang! And an electric bolt goes through you. Another reflex save, if you please.
Oh. Oh, I failed.
Oh, ooh, get the fuck out of here. Yes. Get right out of here.
24.
That is a failure. That is a failure. Oh, my God, dude. It worked out. I rolled on 4d12. 3. 11, 12, 10.
Oh.
36 points of electricity damage.
Wow.
Rick through this creature. Oh my god. I was trying to decide if I should do a lower magic missile and just get some guaranteed damage or let you roll the die. And holy shit, that adds up to way more than I could have done with magic missile.
Holy wow. shit, that's awesome. I have been
corrected in chat. The bleed continues. The 2 effects that last until the beginning of the turn are flat check or the off guard. And the resistance is the reduction to resistance. The bleed does continue. You do need to roll another flat.
You have to solve your own bleed. I guess makes
all
sense.
Right. Yeah. Natty 18 on the flat check. Give me the 2d8 damage.
You take an additional 7 points of bleed.
Okay,
7 points of bleed, and then you're clean. And then anyway, yeah. So that was 14 points cold, 36 points lightning, 50 points of damage. That quickened casting is only once a day. I can do that once a day.
That's well, awesome. This is the time to do it. No reason to hold on to that.
Feat. Yeah, exactly. It's a classic meta magic feat from 1E.
It now goes to Suki's turn.
Okay.
Suki with a side of Pepsi.
Suki is going to... She's prone on the ground, but she rolls her head over and sees Eris's dainty ankles. And Suki's just going to reach her arm out and grab Eris's ankle and do a touch 5th level heal. Okay,
Whew.
You are going to get back
huge.
68 points.
Holy shit.
I mean, where you fell.
Wow.
It's the only way you could have done that. There's no other way to move about the rooms.
That's almost full. That helps so much. I was like 34 hit points left. If like it hit me again, I might die. Like,
so sorry, Ethel, but I mean...
It's okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
Holy
shit.
Then that was only 1 action because I was able to be in range to touch Eris. So as a 2 action, John, I then cast. Suddenly, you see Suki's body like just stiffen, like on the ground, like a board, like she's having a seizure almost. And then, chink, 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 chink. Her whole body just changes into these sharp, jagged, metallic pieces. And I cast Elemental Form, and I am a metal elemental who is
nice.
Lying on the ground because I don't have enough actions to stand up.
Wow.
So it's awesome.
Wow.
Nothing sadder than a metal elemental lying prone.
Super cool looking robot that slipped on a banana peel, basically.
Holy shit. All right, so you turned into a metal elemental Mookie.
Yeah, so, and I mean, isn't this new? Like, I feel like this didn't exist when Suki was created as a character.
It was the thing we did in Rage of Elements,
and
right.
came in of Rage of Elements. Yeah, the plane of metal. It's so cool.
Yeah,
metal as an element. It's just
but don't
it's
you have
so
to be
fun.
A very specific type of druid to become metal? I mean, isn't there the anathema coming to play here?
All right, you know what?
Yeah,
Matthew, I think, you sound like Joe. Can you just give it a rest?
I don't think.
God, look what you've done to me.
Nobody likes a Joe. Give it a rest.
That is completely anathema to be metal to ruin.
It's horrible. It's,
you make a really good point. I don't really know what. I don't know. It doesn't give you like a.
I know you don't know because it's sort of it's all lumped in there. It gives you access to everything. But like,
I'm so curious now. I will have to look into that separately.
In the meantime, it is Aldo's turn.
No, it's Pepsi's just going to Pepsi's just going to... Oh, wait.
Pepsi's going to stand prone. Up.
You know what?
Pepsi's always prone. Pepsi's
Pepsi lives prone. It's on his back.
What's the whole point?
So dumb. All right, Pepsi rolls over, and now he's not prone. So good that's Pepsi. His turn, I guess.
Okay, good turn, Pepsi.
Chad is also saying they got rid of metal anathema for druids in the remaster.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Thank you, chat. So it's awesome still and not bad.
It says, and they did it through story. Doc said, you know, Doc Robotnik says, since the reopening of the plane of metal was unsealed, druids no longer have that as anathema. It's almost a natural element now.
That's cool.
I love really that. Really cool. I love that. Yeah, it's like chunks of sharp iron ore, you know, just like are on her body now. It's so cool.
It's very, very cool. It is Aldo's turn.
Okay. I think unfortunately, this haste is kind of wasted on me.
Well, everyone made me do it, so you better skid.
Haste is just generally it's worse than it was in 1E because agreed. It's for like sure. In 1E, you just get a bonus, full bonus attack action.
Yeah. Everybody does.
Everyone does, and now it's one person and it's just worse. It's like you get one more useless attack action unless you have other like kind of.
I mean, in this fight too, with a monster that is taking up most of the tiny room.
Yeah, like it would help if you could move
moving around. If we had to move around or whatever, it would be different. But. Okay. So I'm just gonna throw another ball of lightning.
Okay.
Dude, this thing has to be so close. It has to be so fucking close to dead. It has to be.
Come on, I would like to watch the end of the Nuggets game. Nope, not tonight. I'll throw another one. Okay, that's a 31.
Is it still off guard, or does the off guard go away?
The off guard goes away at the beginning of my turn.
Okay, so that is a miss.
But it does take 5 points of electricity damage.
Well, 5 splasher.
That didn't happen to be a natural 19 on your second attack, did it?
And, I'll go again, I guess. Actually, I'll throw the Dread Amp Fuel again. 5 more points of mental splash damage.
Ah, my brain.
And,
ow!
I'll throw the Bottle of Lightning with my last attack, just in case I get a natural 20. I don't, but you take another 5 points of electricity splash damage.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty clutch just to give a little more chip, chip, chipperoo if one of your buddies can come in strong.
That is exactly why I thought the haste would be beneficial to you, because at the very least, it's an extra free 5 points of damage.
Except it's like, with this guy, I'm more than likely going to fumble with that last attack, which I'm not even going to bother taking, in which case it wouldn't take anything. So.
Well, in this case, you got an extra 15 points of damage there on those splashes. And now it's Ethel's turn. Ethel, you're grabbed, and so is your lady lover.
Yes. A situation we've been in a slightly different configuration perhaps before.
Gross. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, this is my last round of having both the keen on the double keen on my Warhammer. Let's make it count, shall we? I'm no longer frightened, though.
That
That's a good
mouth thing. Is opening up and getting closer and closer to Eris.
Oh shit! Natural 18 on the Warhammer.
Oh my god! And you did.
You
did
it,
Matthew!
Warhammer is the metal die.
Wow, shit. Oh my god, that's awesome.
That is amazing. Wow. That is amazing!
And it would be a 41 to hit on the Warhammer, just to confirm.
Yeah, that's double damage. That's
and
it's great.
And 34 to hit on the hatchet.
Also a hit.
Nice. Oh my god.
It's Troy.
I can a crit, double damage, and then also a hit.
Troy, enjoy the Nuggets game.
I tape the bees, man.
Tape the bees.
Watch that right after this.
58 points of damage from the Warhammer. Of that 12 is cold. And then from the hatchet is going to be 17 points of slashing damage from the hatchet.
Okay.
And then I will flens.
Got a flens.
So you are now off guard. Your resistances are reduced by 5, and you'll take a new persistent 2d8 bleed on your turn.
Nice. Let me lift the old veil.
lift away.
This fucking thing can cast a 6th-level spell, which used to be called one thing, but is now called Nevermind. That spell used to be called Feeble Mind.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
I was saving it, waiting. And that's why when I went blinded, I lost it. Okay? Nevermind, if you critically fail on it, you're an NPC.
Yep.
Yeah.
Until someone can remove that curse. And removing curses isn't what it used to be.
Skidnose.
A lot more.
Yeah,
like,
that would have been Galavris all over again.
Skidnose. Yeah. So I went to plan B. Plan B is, after you grab someone, you can use 2 actions for this sucking maw, which if you fail on sucking maw, every time you fail, you get enfeebled. You critically fail, get enfeebled 2. Once you get to enfeebled 4, you roll against Nevermind.
Wow. So if this sucks, is just like it's wow. So that's why Troy knew from the jump how huge it was that you rolled natural 20s on those fortitude saves. Like, that's unbelievable. Yeah,
because I would have just kept sucking you, and once I got down to enfeebled 4, you roll against Nevermind. You roll against Nevermind, Ethel's a vegetable.
Yeah, and you also would not have hit as much. Your enfeebled is gonna directly impact your to hit rolls. Yeah. And
what is your will save, Eris?
My will save is a plus 18.
Yeah, I mean, so you were toast. It's DC 32. I would have got you probably to enfeebled 1 on this next round, maybe enfeebled 2. It was going to get ugly. But instead, Ethel killed it.
Oh. Yeah! Man, he is the best money Aldo and I have ever spent.
Absolutely.
That Ethel.
The tentacle releases from Eris's neck, and she's like, oh. Oh, God. Oh, God. Ethel. That was good.
That was good.
Holy shit.
That was good.
I looked into the maw. I saw some things. In actuality, it wasn't that bad compared to what's up here. But I saw some things.
Suki sits up. You hear clang, clang, clang. Suki sits up, and her head, her metal head just turns like 180. What happened?
I forgot.
Is it dead now?
It's over. Lower
bang,
your
bang,
voice.
Bang, bang.
It's over.
Fuck. I wanted to do that. God damn it. Clang, clang, clang.
This thing is just like, it just shudders from Ethel's blows and then releases Ethel and Eris, who fall to the floor of the floor, and it just lets out one last, like, vocalized sound that is from another world. And, like, as it does so, words, like, flood your mind. Words that they don't go together. It's just like crying out in a million voices all at once, and you hear this like barrage of like you almost have to like steel yourself against it, and then it stops breathing and crouched, like laying like in its folds, is this broken chest that has fallen from the ceiling.
Ooh. Oh. Open it.
Yeah, Atticus walks like directly up to the chest. I would. It's so funny. I wanted to limp because that felt exhausting, but he never took a point of damage. He comes up to the chest and immediately tries to open it if it isn't locked.
Looks like it was locked, but from the fall, it's split open so easily that you can just
what secrets pop do you hide open. Here? Oh, were you guarding Mun's most prized possessions? Let's see what we find.
First thing you find is a canvas
small pouch. You open up the pouch, and there are 6 diamonds inside.
Nice.
Each worth 250 gold pieces.
Whoa.
Holy shit. 6 diamonds, each worth 250 gold pieces. You then open up a leather bag that has 2,500 gold pieces.
Oh my God.
And then there are 3 pieces of paper. You open up the first one.
I'm so glad I asked for that raise before we came up here.
I don't recall that. Aldo, do you? I don't remember that conversation.
No, this is
son of a bitch. No.
You open up the
go
first.
On.
You open up the first one, and it's the deed to the infirmary.
Oh,
okay.
You open up the, second one, and it says that you've all leveled up.
Oh my God!
Yes.
And you open up the third one, and it says, "We'll fucking see you in Kansas City."
Oh my God.
Thank you, Nate.
Amazing.
Oh, we live to see another city.
Thank you, everybody. This was awesome. So awesome. Thank you for hanging out,
everybody.
McD. Thank
We're
you
gonna for do this again.
Shit. We gotta do this again. It was just too good. We'll see you soon. We gotta go. We'll just see you in Kansas City.
Just a quick 20-minute combat.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com.
On a summer night, Douglas Wagg Jr. lay motionless across a strip of railroad tracks before being struck by an oncoming train. I'm investigative journalist Delia D'Ambra, and my investigation into exactly how Doug died took me into the depths of a bizarre mystery.
It was really hard to understand what was fact and what wasn't.
A mystery that has led me from one suspicious death to another. Listen to Counterclock now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to a journey into the heart of the Texas Renaissance Festival, the nation's largest and rowdiest celebration of medieval fantasy. But what lurks beneath the facade of tights and turkey legs? Well, we dove deep into the empire to uncover a history marred by mystery and misconduct, murders, assaults, and other crimes that tarnish its legacy. This isn't just a fairy tale. It's a cautionary tale of power, fantasy, and the consequences that follow when they all collide. Search for Crime Waves Renaissance Texas on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.